welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Hello.
What do I have on my head? Who's
your niece? You have headphones.
From a space-age, super whammy, suck your head in headphones.
Yeah, the thing about, here's the thing about headphones. Well, the thing about radio in general that everyone should know, you must hide your headphones because if you're worried about 30 cents worth of fruit cup being eaten in the refrigerator, like...
And you are.
Radio is one of the few places where you have the community refrigerator and people put long-winded notes on 30 cents worth of food. It's actually... They use up $8 to $12 of company time forming long-winded notes on 30 cents worth of food that's in the fridge. As I said, famously, when I used to work over K-Rock, there was a Chef Boyardee ravioli can that had one ravioli left in the bottom of it, and it had a dampened, moistened towel, a paper towel shoved in the top of it to keep it fresh. That's radio people. So when you go to the radio station, everyone has their own headphones and they have to hide them. When you use the radio station headphones, you'll use the ones that have tape on them.
Yeah.
And they're the ones the Submariners used in the Wolfpack circa 1942. So made of leather. I don't know where Danny's cans, as we call them in the business, went.
They're all silver and neat and shiny. And
those actually look like an upgrade. Perhaps Tom Likas left them here during the think tank.
He called me on Friday. He did not know I was on a plane to Canada, so I will certainly call him back today and see what he wanted.
Likas called after the think tank.
Yeah.
The think tank, by the way, for those of you who are outside of the radio station here in Los Angeles, and obviously this show's syndicated, but the mother station, KLSX in Los Angeles, does a think tank where you stay after and discuss issues. I'm not sure what got resolved. Seemed easy to me.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. You know, radio's a weird job, and not many people have this job, which is you talk... No matter what. Yeah, it's not like you leave the station, punch out, and then the valet guy goes, which one's your car? And you go, Or you go, it's a gray Audi. Now give me $17. All right, really, that wasn't that funny. Give me $8. Give me some money. I spoke. If I'd made a joke, you'd owe me 22, so just thank your lucky stars.
Actually, I give money back to the audience in a lot of my shows. Sorry, I owe you. It's $4.
The point is it's a weird job. I've had this discussion before when people go, well, you do your shift, and then your shift ends at 10 a.m., and then all the other jocks come in for the think tank, and then you hang out for another hour. So on one hand, you're having to work for another hour. And your first impulse kicks in and goes, oh, Christ, what, I have to stick around and work? Just like we're working a slaughterhouse or we're roofing or something like that. You see, when you have a job like a normal job, like I've always had all my life, work means you pick up a tool, you pick up a hammer, or you pick up a telephone and you make some sales calls or you shuffle some papers. All the things you wouldn't do if you went home. Or if you did, you'd be doing it for you. Our job is the same thing you do when you go out to lunch with a friend. As a matter of fact, people look forward to this.
I say that all the time. If I'm having an interesting conversation, usually with a stranger, and they say, so how do you do your radio show? But we've had an interesting conversation. I say, well, you'd put a microphone in your front of your mouth and the one in front of my mouth, and we just did about 40 good minutes.
Right.
You know, if it's a smart guy, bright girl, something interesting came up. The only thing you don't do in life that you do on the radio commercial show is go, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just saying that in the middle of like talking to a guy? Hey, and, Adam, how you feeling today?
You don't do as many descriptions either. Like
right.
When you mention your wife's name or your best friend's name or something, you don't give it the label, my best friend, my wife, because the people you're talking to know who you're talking about, usually, unless you're at a party or something, you haven't met the person. But the think tank, you hang out for another hour, you talk for another hour. On one hand, I'm PO'd because I want to go home. On the other hand, I'm drinking a Miller Chill, and I'm talking to five funny people, and I'm just sitting around.
Right.
So there's a part of me that has to remind myself that this is work, technically, although you've been doing it your whole life, and if they fired you tomorrow, you'd still be talking all the way out of the building. Wonder why Likas called you.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anything. He likes me. He just likes me.
I don't mean in a bad way.
No. It would be, had the boss called me, and the boss, this is the first time, it's really funny, because some weird stuff has happened to me. I've been late to the show more than I've been late in my career, only by seconds, because I figured that out, but I have been, in fact, late. There was that thing with the Fair Play guy.
Right.
I think one other thing, and for some reason, I'm the least frightened when the boss calls here, calls me at home.
But the boss isn't Likas.
No, but I mean, if Likas called, you know, he's the big syndicated show, Likas called... There's part of me that might go, what if he thinks I suck? Because I'm a fairly insecure guy, believe it or not. That's how I think I make up for a lot of that with all this bravado, is that I'm really insecure.
I thought you acquitted yourself quite nicely in that think tank.
Really?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Well, I remember, I think I said it to a couple of people. I said, you know, I think Danny was the second funniest person in that room.
As a matter of fact, you did say that.
I thought about it. I thought, you know.
I recall having heard that.
Yeah.
Adam just made comments like that.
John and Jeff weren't in the house yet.
Yeah, that's
so
true. That's
you
true.
Never know. But
I remember he was talking and being, when I say he, I mean Adam Carolla, was talking. And he, I mean, you cannot tell that the guy does not mean what he says and will say almost anything. And I don't mean like a fart joke like some of those guys. I mean, he'll really say things that matter that could be scary to other guys. And I'm sitting right here, and it's like my third day, and he's talking to the bosses. And he says,
I'm a gay man.
I
came without saying, I think I got the gig. He looked at the bosses, and he said, well, yeah, it's odd and everything, but it's not like you went out and hired someone funnier than me, because that's impossible. And he's looking right at me. Dude, smile or something now, right? And a wink? Nothing. Not a wink, not a smile.
Few people have that kind of confidence, and it's a good way to go through life.
And few people have the kind of confidence to A, no, he's wrong, and B, and B, just absolutely admire that he had just done that. That was, you know, that was a balls out. We didn't know each other. That was a balls out move.
Like, well, thanks. Well, anyway, I'm blowing smoke up my own tokai, but I saw, I thank you. I saw you at work with the think tank, and I thought, yes, Danny's on his game. And that's what a little friendly competition brings out.
Yeah.
That's why this country's the best. T?
Yep.
What'd you do this weekend, baby girl?
Well, I was with your buddy Ozzy at the Home Depot doing some staining.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Me and Ozzy.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Right.
And that was nice.
Yeah,
good man. Ozzy's such a nice man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's another side to him, as Ray reported when the cop showed up and tasered Ozzy, and his wife locked herself in apartment 3B, and he took a skill saw to the door to get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to admire that.
Yep. There is another side to Ozzy. Uh-oh.
Oh, we may have audio of that.
Oh, let's see what we got here.
Don't tase me, bro!
I then, this is my new favorite thing. I mean, it's going to run out, but Batman and I watched about 9 episodes of Rescue Me.
Uh-huh.
I had to take just a half a Vicodin,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of wine,
mm.
and then watch about 9 Rescue Me's. That's my ideal night.
Yeah, sweet relief.
You want to walk to the car now, or you want to wait to the break?
Yeah, there's nothing better than self-medicating.
It was, you know, with the 3 jobs, and my brother's still in the hospital, and he had, not to gross you guys out, but it looked like he was recovering fine. He was in a 15-hour surgery, and things go wrong, so a couple mm-hmm. days later, he was running a super high fever, and mm-hmm. they had to go in 2 days ago and do what's called a washout. They go in, and they wash out infections in your wound, and they had packed in they had moved some muscles from his back into where his tumor used to be, and some of the muscle had died. So it was a bad, depressing, my parents were holding up, but it was all just giving me a stomach ache,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, I need half the Vicodin.
That's right.
And a little bit of wine and 9 Rescue Me's, and I was all back.
Perfect.
Well, I must say, you know, the whole, like, medication part of life sucks because you have the Vicodin because you have the impacted molar, or you get the nitrous, but it's because you have to do dental surgery, or you have the back spasm, so you get the whatever. But the self-medication without the reason to self-medicate, that's nice.
If you can do it in moderation, which I can. I've had that same bottle that I got from my mom for 2 years.
Well, that's it's a 55-gallon drum, the Vicodin.
How'd you know?
They had to use a pallet jack to get it into the house. Look, I've said this many times about booze. I love booze too much to ever spin out of control with it.
Yeah.
Thus, I would then have to quit.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
That's forward thinking, man.
It is. It is. I mean, I love my red wine, and I don't want to ever get to the point where, you know, the wife says I'm going to get a divorce, and the boss says you're going to get fired, and the whole... You know, that whole thing, you know, I don't want to show up at my house and go, Dad, what are you? Wait a minute, Mom, you and Dad never. Oh, crap, it's an intervention.
Right.
That's.
You don't need that.
That's what I don't need. And I like the booze too much. So I'm going to limit myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to govern myself.
Right.
So I can keep drinking is
that's
basically what it is.
The true love of booze.
All right. We decided, kids. That's a man who truly loves his sauce. Thank you. The more you know. We did something, I don't know, a few months back. We liked it, and then we forgot about it, as we do with many things on the show. I'm going to give you a nickname. You call up 866-901-ADAM.
Meehaw!
Yeah, I'm pretty good at giving out nicknames, and they seem to work, and they seem to stick. We'll ask you a couple questions, maybe how tall you are, what you do for a living, hobby or two. And we'll give you a nickname.
I recommend it. Having a nickname makes you feel like you belong.
It's endearing. It really is. When you walk in to a party and everyone calls you by your nickname, it's great.
I've never had one until I got here. And I don't know if you even know you said this kind of in passing, and it stuck. People actually say it to me when I walk down the street now. I mean, not like they say Danny, not nearly that often, but often enough that it's my official nickname. Debo.
Debo. Yeah.
People call me Debo. I don't know how many times you've even said it. But I remember every now and again people go, Debo, what up?
It feels good. Yeah, I'll walk in a party, people will be, hey, S for brains. And they'll raise their generic beer. We'll take a quick break. I'll give you a nickname. Nay, we'll give you a nickname. 866-901-ADAM next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. What's in store for Monday morning? Let's ask Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Today, from Viva Variety and I Love the 80s, Michael Ian Black, Ozzy Reviews the Heartbreak Kid, the Ace Man and Paul Bryan are going to do a reenactment, a round of Rich Man, Poor Man, and this week's Music Monday, songs with people's name in them. Oh, sweet, check out the Jack Band's favorite, Leo. Whoa! Dawson, fix that in post.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as promised, we'll give you a nickname, 866-901-ADAM. We did it a while back. We had, to mixed results. I think honestly, we gave some good nicknames, and some didn't work out. Part of it is sort of like, I don't know, you become like a psychic when you give nicknames. You do that thing where you go, I'm blocked. I'm just not seeing it. Yeah. And then other times it's really clear.
If the first caller is Irish, then you're just psychic.
Mm.
It's very difficult to give nicknames.
Yes.
Like I said, right off the bat. If this is like McNulty, you're a winner.
George?
Shoot.
Hey, Adam.
let me hear some things about you. Calling from San Pedro.
Yeah. I work for the railroad. I work nights.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all right.
That's done.
Night train.
Oh.
One of the best NFL defensive back nicknames, Night Train Lane.
That was good.
You know from the 60s.
Don't know him, love the name Night Train. What a cool, have your friends. This is Steve, this is Jimmy, that's Ace, and that's Night Train. You just know, I know everything about that guy.
And don't you have your own song already?
Yeah,
there's a song.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a...
Guns N' Roses.
Right.
Probably cheap malt liquor named after you,
right?
Some fortified wine.
A little bit of...
This is Night Train? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, George, Night Train is nice because here's what you want. in a nickname. You don't want way over the top, just like Killer or Spike or something like that, because that's overcompensation. You don't want to be like, hey, I'm George Huge Schlong Meskimen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You don't want that, but Night Train, see, here's what Night Train suggests. Night Train suggests a little something in it for the ladies. Boys, look out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It has a, it, you know, it strikes fear in men. It makes women curious. Night Train.
I like it. I'm on my way to get it tattooed on my arm right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, join the club.
All right, go, Night Train. Go forth and tat. Why is he up so early? Oh, did he just get off of work?
Probably.
Hey, Night Train? No, he hung up.
I was going to say, if he already isn't answering to his name.
It takes
he
a
worked,
while.
He worked, said he worked nights for the, yeah. All right, he must be on his way home. Hey, Kim?
Yes.
What's up, baby girl?
Oh, I am a Sac City Roller girl.
Mm. I know you guys.
You do?
Yeah, I know a couple of you girls. Yeah, the new roller derby girls, right?
Well, there's two roller derby teams in Sacramento.
Yeah.
They're the number one first roller derby team.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know a bunch of you girls.
Yeah, you probably do.
Now,
I have a couple of your T-shirts. They're very cool.
You're number one because why? You beat the other team?
Actually, we are the first team. We're the first team to be established in Sacramento.
Uh-huh. And who do you play?
Well, we just got through beating Orange County's Bakersfield.
Now, when you say beating them, you mean you guys arranging in advance who's going to win and then going out and play acting?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. It's 100% real.
Mm. Okay.
I beg to differ on certain moves that are very, very well planned, but from what I've seen, I actually do know a couple of these girls rather well.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome is not arranged. So I believe that there's no way that there are some of those moves that they don't do, that they say, let this guy do this at this moment. That'll look fascinating.
Right.
But who wins at the end is not predetermined. Well, how am I doing on that?
That's true. That's true. Especially with some leagues different.
All right. You know, well, Kim, let me ask you, what else do you do?
I'm also a commercial driver for a major utility. So I'm a truck driver, roller girl.
Truck driver, roller girl. Mm-hmm. And what cup size are you?
Double D, baby.
Oh, easy. Ooh, stacks. Wow. Stacks. Because you think of the big stacks on the diesel trucks. Then you have the sort of roller, you know. Yeah, and you're double D.
And by the way, should she spell it on her T-shirt, STAX?
Mmm.
Oh, that's great.
Two X's. Oh, no, the X's will be the cross smokestacks for that come up off the diesel truck, right off the cab there. Nice. Stacks.
Nice.
See, now, I kind of have a skate name, but I might have to include that somehow.
What's your skate name?
Cannonball Kim with a K.
Mmm.
Because I hit like a cannonball. Wait, I have cannonballs.
Yeah. So, natural double D?
Absolutely.
Nice times. Big gal? Okay. All right.
5'7". Medium.
Hey, some of these chicks
are red. Works nicely.
They're red hot, though. Remember maybe it happened before I met you, and I just told you that I got thrown out of the house the first time for flirting on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was with a roller derby girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I went and I started seeing some of their girls and or games, and then seeing some of their other girls, and I became kind of the mascot, and it was bitching, and some of them left their skates on.
Well, I was,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
They had to go in a hurry.
Danny's humping him going, get back here.
Get me my mini bike.
I was just thinking, you know, we now officially have a ton of hot chicks. Like, here's how you know we have a ton of hot chicks. When there's some sort of presidential counsel for whatever, they bring some guy up in front of court, and they bring his secretary out who has to testify against him, and she's smoking hot. And you're like, wow. Now, when you look back...
Is everybody thinking Ollie North on this?
Yes, Fawn Hall. But that... That's even, you know, that's 20 years ago. Here's what I'm saying. We have enough hot chicks to have cheerleaders, Arena League, NFL, basketball, roller derby girls. I bet the chicks in the roller derby league were hotter than the Miss USA contestants of the 50s overall.
Oh, and yeah, good call.
So here's my point. when you go back and you watch these old shows or see this archival footage, you'll go, he was a war hero. He was a dashing war hero. And he came back to ticker tape parades. He took a bride, and then they show him and the bride, and she's a pig.
Yep.
But it was 1941 or it was 1928. And you go, well, I guess there weren't too many hot chicks back then. Or they'll go, the czar married the beautiful countess, and she's paunchy and cankly, and she has bad teeth. And then I thought, well, of course, because look at it this way. If there's nothing you can do about your teeth, and there's nothing you can do about your nose, and there's nothing you can do about your breasts, and I'm just stopping there. We know it all just keeps going and going and going. Well, what percentage of women are going to be born with beautiful straight teeth, a beautiful petite little nose, and big, you know, perky C cups? I mean, it just, you don't find it in nature. As a matter of fact, you don't find a slender woman with a large rack and straight teeth and a little nose. They just don't exist. But now, if everyone can get it for graduation presents,
right.
Well, then where are we at?
Money and science can make you very beautiful. Just ask Tori Spelling.
But, you know.
Yes. No, I mean, seriously.
Not
let's,
that
let's,
much science.
We do nothing but focus on breasts and boob jobs. But here's a bigger one. Teeth. Most people, in the absence of caps, whitening, braces, retainers, and all that corrective stuff, do not have perfectly straight, beautiful teeth. When you look at a lot of these celebrities, these starlets, and they do the before and the after, right. Like with Hillary Duff and stuff like that, they had crappy looking smiles. Thus, if you're a beautiful woman and you think you're going to be a 9 or a 10 with old teeth you had, no, sorry, you can't get above an 8, no matter how beautiful you are with those teeth. Well, now we've corrected that. You do the teeth, you do the nose, and you're about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way home. As far as the face right. goes. So, yes. Therefore, nobody's going to be under 5. All right. Where the hell was I? We have...
Well, I was going to say about your finding it in nature, and a perfect analogy was the rack. You ever see deer hunters?
Mm-hmm.
The 21-point buck.
Right.
That's making it the most fascinating of all the deer because it had all the rack was perfect.
Right.
But you almost never get that. That's why it's the elusive perfect.
Right.
That rack doesn't come in nature either.
Right.
They just don't have deer plastic surgeons.
Right.
You can get the 21 points, oh, that'll look weird, here at the doctor's office.
Yeah. Right. And now we're living in a society where you look up above my fireplace in my hunting lodge and you go, wow, a 23-point deer rack. And I go, yeah, I added 18 of them. But they look good. Hey, Karen?
Yes.
Is it Karen?
It's Corinne.
Oh, Corinne. Oh, like we need one of those. All right. What's going on, baby doll?
Well, I'm a nanny for multiples.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
that twins or personalities?
I have triplets.
You have triplets?
Yeah, two girls and a boy.
How old are they?
18 months.
Oh, we'll get a little play date going.
Lots of fun.
Good times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what else?
I'm pretty artsy. I like to paint and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Love to go to museums and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, thought you might have something creative for a nickname. I'm kind of stuck with Corinne for now.
Mm. How about this just popped in? And again, the thing about the nickname is there's two parts to giving someone a nickname. There's a sort of mechanical part where you just really have to factor in what the person's doing, and then there's just the visceral gut. What's the first thing that popped right. in your head is probably the best idea. You know what just popped into my head?
What's that?
Poppins.
Poppins.
Ah.
Yeah, Mary Poppins is too long, but Poppins is nice.
Very cute.
Hey, Poppins! Really nice. Come on. Yeah, I made a Duke in my diaper. Poppins! Poppins! The father of the triplets needs oral. Poppins! You know, whatever.
Literally made them triplets instead of the twins.
Yeah. Hey, Corinne?
Yes.
Poppins. Let's
I like see. That. Do you like that?
I like it a lot. I think it sticks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What else? How are you? How old are you? What do you look like?
I'm 21.
Mm-hmm.
About 6'5". Double D.
Wait, 6'5".
Five.
Sorry?
5'6". I'm sorry.
Oh.
5'6".
I can do that. I can even be 5'9" in these boots.
Double D, huh?
Sorry. Yeah.
Nice.
All natural. Pretty decent size. I mean, I'm happy. My boyfriend's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you live with this family?
I do. I just moved. Actually, I just moved back into my mom's house.
Because I'm thinking about hiring live-in help.
Because I'm a great big train person.
Even my little 800-square-foot house that I live in now is just within seconds. It's everything's all over the place. It's always dirty. I'm always late for stuff. I'm trying to get, like, a full mom assistant slash possibly girlfriend every now and again, but then you have to stay.
Oh, nice. Just come over. Yeah. Well, I do housework as well as while I'm taking care of the kids.
Mm. Good times.
I heard they're a boyfriend. You're fired.
All right, Poppins.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We have we got a crane operator who plays a guitar. We have an EMT who's a student and a workhorse, never sleeps. Let's see. We got a dairy farmer, owns a hay hauling. Does hay hauling and smokes a ton of weed. We got a guy who drives a dump truck. We got Eddie who's into trannies and has tattoos.
Let's call him Danny.
Let me check with him quickly. Eddie? Eddie from San Francisco, shockingly. Eddie?
How you doing, Adam?
You're into trannies? You have tattoos?
Yes, I am. It's actually a newfound experience. I just experienced this weekend at this famous sex club up here in San Francisco.
You did the tranny love?
Yeah, it's actually called the Power Exchange, but I ended up hooking up with a tranny, and it was the damn best.
And, you know? Well, hold on a second. And you weld, does it say?
Yes, sir. Oh.
You've never been with a transsexual before.
Never, ever in my life.
Yeah, she's pretty face, nice chest, full wiener.
Yes.
Okay.
And you had sex for the first time, and you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did.
All right, hold on a second.
You're good for this guy. You can tell he's straight. On. And he just did something. He's going, okay, I like this. This is my weird thing.
I'd say, you know, as far as straight versus, you know, Mulholland Highway. Maybe he's not Mulholland, but he's got a bend or two in him.
Oh, yeah, but I think they're fetishes, not gay. I don't think he's gay. I think he's got a fetish.
He's into trannies and tats. He likes welding. We could just go with the easy animal. You know, that's easy. But I want to talk to Eddie. That's good, too. Play sound effect, Paul Bryan. Thank you. We will talk to Eddie, because I really am curious about the straight guy having sex with a transsexual and it being liberating. Yeah, I want to know what the hell went on over there. We'll get to that and the rest of Nicknames next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
We're going straight-y.
If you said old school...
We're going streaky!
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we were giving out nicknames.
Lou,
we're going to continue giving out nicknames, but we spoke to Eddie. Eddie?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Eddie, you're from San Francisco.
Yes, I am.
You have tattoos.
Yep.
You do welding.
Yes, sir.
But you decided to hook up with your first tranny last weekend.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. And you found it liberating, eye-opening?
It was very relieving, let's say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't consider yourself gay?
I never thought I was, but I've been having these weird thoughts, and I've been kind of tripping out these last 2 days, thinking, what the heck was I doing? But,
I'm gay for saying that.
Mm-hmm. But formally, have never been with a man?
No, sir.
No, sir. And
I don't think about trying to get it from a man. It was just that feeling, and it was just the bomb.
And so what happened? You went into a club in San Francisco, and this is a transsexual club?
No, it's actually a sex club.
Mm-hmm. And you went into the sex club, and you sought out a transsexual.
I was actually looking at all the hot women that were in there, but...
Right. They're called trannies. Here's the thing. When you go into a sex club and there's a bunch of hot-looking women who are civilians and aren't supposed to be working as prostitutes or whatever, they have to be transsexuals. Because there's no such thing as just 23-year-old hot chicks that go, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? Want to go to a concert? No, let's go to the sex club. It doesn't work that way. That's why every porn movie about swinging couples, that's why, well, I can't talk too much about it because there's a lawsuit, but swingers don't look like that.
No. No, swingers look like that guy Borat fights.
Right. That's right. Hey, Eddie?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you went in, you hooked up with a transsexual, and without getting too graphic, what do you do when you have sex with a transsexual?
Well, the way it happened with me...
And by the way, they're not transsexual because they still have... Well, they're pre-op... transsexuals.
I think there's stages. There is your transvestite, who's just really good at it. Then there's your pre-ops, who have been on hormone therapy for a long time, have breasts, maybe even have breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. I actually admire a really good transvestite. You know why? Because of the bone structure of a man to diet down that thin to look like a real hot girl is almost impossible. You'd have to diet down... I don't know your height. I'd have to diet down to 108 pounds.
Right.
Can you imagine the discipline?
Yeah.
You think of trannies, you just think, you know, trash and this and that and this and that. That's one thing I'll give them. When I see them on Santa Monica Boulevard and they're a size 2, a man that's a size 2.
You're wearing women's jeans that are bedazzled at 6:45 in the morning on Monday. It's not that great
a
chasm.
They're a size 9.
You got to go down. You know, here's the problem with tranny, transsexual, and trans, whatever we're just talking about.
Transvestite.
It gets very confusing with the transvestite, the tranny, and the transsexual. Transvestite, man dressed like a woman. Transsexual, someone who's undergone the surgery. So this person hasn't undergone the surgery, right, Eddie?
Nope.
No. And so they have boobies and a Pepe, yes?
Yes, sir.
And
Pepe still works.
What's that?
Pepe still works?
She was aroused, yeah, but...
she was aroused. Hold on. I could feel her 9 inches of manhood. She was aroused.
Well, was she wearing some kind of skirt, or what's
she hurt
on?
Me with her penis.
She had breasts like cantaloupe and manhood like a banana.
The problem...
It's all compared to fruit.
The problem was she was into rough trade and injured me with her penis.
Uh-oh.
Fair enough. You got it coming.
Eddie?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She became aroused.
Well, let me tell you how to start it, because it's kind of a... When you go into this club, you gotta if you want to go in and not pay $90 to get in, then they give you a towel and you only pay $35 and you walk around in this towel.
Wait, I'm confused. If you pay $90, what do you get?
You have to walk, then you get to wear your
regular
street
clothes. Got it. Let me help you guys out on this. I'm sorry, because this was real big in the 80s out here. If you come alone and you're a guy, if you can get in, it's probably $200. If you come with a woman, it's $100. And if you are a woman on your own, it's free of charge. Because if you go to a sex club, you can imagine,
right,
it's 300 fat guys.
Right.
And a couple of girls that may look okay and they're on the trying to make some extra dough,
right,
or they're the same guy that fought Borat.
Got it.
You know?
Right.
So you show up by yourself, you're a guy, you might not be able to get in, but if you can, it's a couple of $100. Couple $100, hot chick free.
So $90 to walk around your street clothes, $35 to walk around in a towel.
Because then you're kind of part of the event.
Look,
there's a guy in a towel.
So, Eddie?
Yes.
You chose the towel or the Dockers?
I chose the towel.
Damn right you did.
All right. Prudent. So now you're walking around in a towel, and you run into your gym coach, your stepdad, your priest, and then what?
And then they have all these different rooms. They're set up with different themes. They got the military room. They got a doctor's office. They got a torture chamber.
Eddie, I think I know this place, and there was an actual military convention going on in that room. Those weren't dudes dressed up as military, whatever. It's San Francisco's that liberal that they actually have a recruiting office inside the bathhouse. So you go in, and you go into which room?
And I'm walking around, and they got the downstairs dungeon room. It's got this real skinny alleyway that goes, I'd say, I don't know, maybe a half a block down, and you walk past all these different rooms. Well, that's kind of the hangout spot, I guess, for the what you call trannies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one hot one that just kept staring at me, and I made eye contact with her, and I realized that she was a tranny, and I actually told myself, what the hell were you looking at? So mm-hmm. I kind of tried to stay clear of her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got me cornered up, and she reached her hand under my towel, and I don't know. I just kind of liked it for a second, and she just went to work, and it felt really, really good, and I ended up letting her continue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had to look over my shoulder to make sure my buddies weren't around, but mm-hmm. I did the deed, though.
And that was it, just the towel. And by the way, this is for fellas, ladies, this is all you need to know about male sexuality.
Yeah.
There's no such female creature that exists this way. You know what I mean? I got a towel on. This stranger just reached under the towel and started yanking around. I just stood there, and then I was finished and went back home. Like, oh. there's no female equivalent to that. They just, you guys aren't wired that way.
I thought you were going a different way when you said, here's all you really need to know is men will bone a wildebeest if it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, that's true, too. Same,
yeah. I mean, if it really push comes to shove, and I hope it does, that, you know, we really will. We'll start with really high hopes, mm-hmm. but we'll end the night. If it's... When Donna Summer's Last Dance comes on, the big girls get hot.
It's not even... Yeah, it's not even like good looking versus unattractive. It's just, I'm going to go pay somebody. I'll walk around in this open public place in a towel. And then the first person I run into who reaches under that towel starts yanking around. I'm good. Look, here's all you need to know about male sexuality. And maybe I'll explore this tomorrow. We have kind of a full plate today. But I was watching my 2020s, I'm apt to do, and they on a Friday night, and they followed up a story. I don't know if you guys have heard this story. It's unbelievable. I have to bring the clips in. Otherwise, I don't think you'd believe me. But there was a guy who was calling fast food restaurants. And when he'd get the manager on the phone, he'd accuse one of the employees of stealing something.
Right.
Yeah.
He was posing as a cop. And he'd say, like, I'm going to have to come down there and I'm going to have to collect the person and it's going to get real ugly. You need to do a strip search for me. And then the manager would tell the employee at the McDonald's, and there's a good chance if you're calling a McDonald's, you're not dealing with the best and the brightest. Even the manager's getting $9 an hour and has a GED, so they call the manager.
Maybe
the
brain surgeon isn't there.
Right. You could actually, I've called McDonald's and asked them to put the hamburger on the line or Mayor McCheese. They went and got him, or at least they spent an hour on hold looking for him. The point is this. I don't know if you heard the story, but the manager then told this young girl, like 16, 17-year-old, get naked because we're doing a strip search.
Yeah.
And then said start jumping up and down and doing jumping jacks. And whoever was calling in was just getting some sort of sick pleasure from getting this person to do this.
Right.
At some point, the manager, the female manager, had to go back onto the floor. It was rush hour, was, you know, the business, it was the dinner rush, and had to run the operation. So the cop, the guy who was posing as a cop on the phone, said, well, get someone in here to look after her, hand the phone off to somebody. So she, the manager, got her boyfriend, who was like a 45-year-old heating and air conditioning repairman who probably just came by to get a free hamburger.
Right.
Said, hey, come on in here. Hey, here's the phone. Keep an eye on this girl. The cops want her for this and that. And shut the door and went back out on the thing. Now, at a certain point, the voice on the other line, posing as a cop, said to the guy, you know, spank her naked. He spanked her. There's video. There's videotape of the whole thing. And then said, all right, now unzip your fly and receive oral from this person. And he was like, well, okay. And I just thought, that's a guy's sexuality. This guy's a 40-something-year-old guy. He's dressed in the shirt that says Hank on it and says, you know, Bob's Heating and Air in the back of it. He just drove his van up to go get himself a free fillet of fish and a hot apple pie. And the next thing you know, there's a chick he's never seen before in his life, and she's 17 or 18, and he's like, yeah, she's all right looking. There's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing right with her. And he's like, all right, it's time for oral. And there you go.
Okay.
Woman would have been like, huh? What? No, I'm not excited. That guy could be sexually aroused with a cop in one ear and a crying 17-year-old Jack in the Box or McDonald's employee on the business end of his honker. No problem.
No problemo.
All right, let's see.
I wonder
see.
How, if there's anything like a real guy with plenty of testosterone pumping through his veins, if he was getting really good oral when he got the phone call that one of his loved ones had passed peacefully,
yeah,
but passed.
Mm.
If he'd stop, or if he'd finish and go, grandma died.
Well, once I think, first off, that's what the phone machine's for. When you're getting really good oral, it's considered a faux pas at the Corolla household to pick up the phone.
Really?
Well,
rude.
Because I'm long-winded. You know what I mean? I'll start going off on something. Stacia?
Yes, good morning.
I mean, there's only a 10% chance a loved one passed away, but there's a 90% chance my buddy Chris, he wants to complain about my other buddy Don. Hey, Stacia?
Yes, good morning.
Quickly, I'll give you a nickname.
Make sure it's not the Hamburglar. I'm looking at him all different now.
All right. What do you better than the turd burglar. What do you got going for yourself?
I'm just right now I'm at work and I'm up to my ankles here with paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean I've had like two sets of twins in 2 years.
Two sets of twins?
Yes.
Four by.
No,
yeah.
I have an almost 5-year-old. And I listen to your show religiously.
So you got 5 kids?
No. I had them for my girlfriend.
You had them?
Oh, you're a surrogate.
No, I'm a gestational carrier. She had frozen embryos.
Yeah. My head's going to explode.
That's Corinne and Karen right there to me.
Gestational what?
It's called a gestational carrier where you carry their embryos.
I see.
It means she gets pregnant just like you said.
Right.
It's a fancier name.
No, but the whole thing is I'm not genetically related.
They put the egg into you.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Hold on, baby. Now you got to hold on because I'm not done with this. All right. So you have, but you have, do you have 4 kids of your own?
No, I have one of my own.
Mm.
She gave birth to 2 sets for 2 different moms?
One different mom.
Mm-hmm.
A different mom. She had frozen embryos sitting in a lab at a place I won't name,
mm-hmm.
and they had lost their child several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Asked my husband and I if we would help them restart their family.
Mm. How about this, just quickly, because I really want to explore this, but just how about greenhouse, G-house? You know what I mean? Like the idea that we're cultivating.
I like it.
You know, like this food wouldn't grow because it's snowing outside. But you have a nice little warm cocoon to grow it in, but you're not eating what's in there. You won't reap the benefits of the harvest.
How do you like drop?
Drop's not bad. It's a little... Well, I'll tell you what. Stacia, hang on. Because the surrogate mom, but not the surrogate mom, the egg-hauling
the
surrogate mom, and the gestational and the implications. I want to talk about this, so we'll talk to Stacia, and we'll do the news... T, you want to give a tease?
Yeah, we're going to hear from Marion Jones.
Mm.
The future of Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, I just saw that. Is that like a thing?
We'll get to that, Danny.
It's my real life, man.
Good
it's
tease.
A news story to you. It's the guy sitting to the left of you to me.
Well, listen, Pamela Anderson got married, too.
Mm, we'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Today's another Music Monday. Adam, Danny, and Teresa will play some songs with people's names in them, maybe even their own. Comedian Michael Ian Black will be joining us.
If you listen to all the records backwards, they would have, you know, Worship My Devil Dick or whatever it is. I never heard anything. Now, keep in mind, I was listening primarily to Duran Duran records.
We'll do a little Rich Man, Poor Man, and our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo, will give us his review on The Heartbreak Kid.
There'll be no more.
Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have the news to get to, but before that, our own news. We're speaking to Stacia. I'm very interested in all this harvesting of eggs, and again... There's the selling of eggs,
yeah.
Except for they don't say selling eggs. They say I donated my eggs.
Right.
50 G's.
Nobody donates anything for a bunch of money. As a matter of fact, if you go look up donate, it'll be right. You don't donate your old car, van, boat, or RV and then get paid 10 grand. That's called selling your used RV, van, coat, van, or bar, whatever the hell you're selling. So this is not donation, but this is not Stacia's situation.
No.
Stacia... what had eggs.
No, not my eggs.
Not your eggs. You had eggs implanted in you that were someone else's eggs.
Yes. Yes.
So you became a host.
I became a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I called my wife when she was pregnant in a condominium.
Can I ask a question? You did this for your friend, and you said she lost a child?
Yeah, I want to keep it, you know, they're in healthcare, and they're both healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to, they're well known, so I don't want to give much information out, but.
But she couldn't carry a child to term, is what you're saying.
No, they, after their loss, they tried, and it didn't work, so they, being friends of ours, asked, and we said, of course.
Now, we, meaning you and your vagina, or you
and my
your
husband.
You and your husband.
The three of you had a sit-down.
Who?
My husband.
The three of them had a sit-down. That's not how you get pregnant, Teresa. This is going to be your problem. This is going to haunt you. Honey, I want to have a baby. Let's have a sit-down.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm haunted all the time by the thought that I won't be able to have a child, so it's nice to know there are alternatives.
Well, but there's only certain states that allow this.
Right. All right. So let's backtrack. You and your husband are married. Everyone's heterosexual. Everyone's happy, right?
Yeah.
You have a child of your own.
Yes, a beautiful son.
Okay, so your private part is already stretched out, so your husband's not all freaked out.
No, my snack bar is tight, Danny. Get that straight.
Is that true?
Snack bar?
It's a mini bar. It's not a snack bar, but go ahead. well, yeah, cold and expensive. That's... That's why we call TSV the mini bar.
That's nice.
That is sweet.
When you're done, I think I have my very first effort into this, but it's awful cutesy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't. I've been sitting here kind of quiet going, I'm not very good at this nickname thing. I'm not. Like when Adam does it, he goes, wow, Stacks, that was really good. And I wasn't thinking of those at all. Mine might be a little too cutesy, but I think I might have one for when you're done. Let me have a shot.
All right.
Thanks.
For Stacia. All right. So, Stacia, again, you have a child of your own.
Yes.
You have a dear friend, a couple. You're married yourself.
Yes.
And they lost a child tragically. Can I ask you how old the child was when they lost him or her?
He was an infant.
So very close to birth.
Yes.
And they tried to carry another child, but for reasons unknown to us, that wouldn't work out. She had whatever was going on with her internally would not accept that.
Exactly.
So now she wants you to be a host.
Mm-hmm.
Not use one of your eggs, as
Absolutely
we've heard about
not.
In the past. She will implant an already inseminated egg into you.
Exactly.
So they take the sperm from the father, they take the harvest the egg from the mother, they inseminate the egg, and then they put the egg in you, and the egg gestates inside of you.
Absolutely.
And then you give birth to it, just sort of natural birth-wise.
Yeah.
Now,
I had C-section both times.
Okay, now here's the thing.
You've added stuff.
First off, your husband deserves either a medal or a dunce cap.
Or a week at the Mustang Ranch.
Right, because it's not the part where he has a pregnant wife and all that kind of stuff that's tough. It's the part where the guys at work who see you come in with the belly sticking out to here say, wow, Herb, awesome, buddy, here's a cigar. And he's like, no, no, no. And then it's like, well, what? I don't understand. Is that? And he's like, it's not mine. And then they're like, what, mean your wife? No, she... all the explanations, all the congratulations. And by the way, when you got the congratulations, let's just say you and your husband are walking around in the mall and you're pregnant with twins and someone comes up to you and goes, oh, that's awesome. Do you explain it to them or you just keep walking?
You know, it sucked because many times, you know, you're not constantly with this other couple. You know, you're my girlfriend and her husband. So of course, you have to sit there and try and explain it. And there's other times where you just go, you know what? It's a long story. Here's the hand. And you just keep cruising.
And twins, right? Correct?
Two sets.
Now, did they do that intentionally? Did they put...
No, what they do is they if you get a doctor that says, here, we're going to transfer more than two eggs, run the other way.
Right, because what they're saying is one is going to slough off and one will take, so we'll do two, except for two could take.
No, if you get a doctor that's going to transfer three, you could end up with triplets.
Right.
I don't know about you, but that's a lot to digest.
Yeah, again, what they do is they go redundancy. They go backup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they don't know if all two will take or three will take. They'll assume one won't take, right. So they put two in, but two took two times for you, right?
And one can even split.
And you did this for two separate couples?
No, one.
So
one couple.
All right, so it says on the screen, it says two sets of twins.
Right.
Yeah.
Same couple.
Oh, the same couple. So you gave them four offspring.
Yes.
And what did they give you?
Well, we're all good friends, and there was no compensation, so let's get that straight. No compensation.
Would it have been...
I am gainfully employed.
Would it have been illegal if there was compensation?
You know, I'd have to talk to a CPA about that, but I'm guessing, yeah, absolutely.
No, you'd have to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
All that, too.
Right. Yeah. All right. So no compensation. Jesus Christ. By the way, your couple, you birthed four kids for them. Can you guys ever go out? Can you ever go out to dinner without them picking up the tab? Or is there ever a situation where, like, could you imagine this? Like, her husband and the husband of the four kids to get together, and it's like, hey, Stan, again, thank Stacia again for what she did. I mean, what a saint. She could have died giving birth. I did lend you that cordless drill. It's going on 3 weeks. I mean, if you're not using it, I would kind of like it back. I mean, I'm not accusing you of stealing. It's just, it's the only one I do use it. I mean, like, can you ever say anything again to that couple? Is there anything just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you? Are they just kissing your ass everywhere you go?
No, because we, you know, there's a thing called boundaries. You know, we have a life, too, so we don't constantly spend all of our free time with them.
No, I would.
No, absolutely not. No. Plus, I'm not into the... My son's potty trained. Mm. I'm not hanging out and changing the dirty diaper.
I understand, but speaking of potty training, when they invited us over, like you and your husband over for dinner over at their place, I'd walk in the entry hall, drop my pants right on the tile and go, could you get that?
Stacia,
and then I'd walk with my pants around my ankles. I'd waddle, and I'd just grab the finest thing of liquor they had and just pour myself a big tumbler of it, then throw the bottle into the fireplace.
And when we go there, we actually stay at the Marriott. We don't stay at their house.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
Do you just love being pregnant, or why did you do this?
No, not at all. Absolutely. I will never be pregnant again. I have a totally new respect for pregnant women, especially mm-hmm. women who are having twins.
Mm. Takes you five babies to get a new respect for pregnant women?
Oh, you know what? You had to be there to say
apparently that. I didn't have to be there. You can have my babies. I don't have to be anywhere near there.
And then what about your husband for the second go-round?
He was not, you know what? Truthfully and honestly, he was like halfway through it. I told you not to do this.
Well, how did they come to you after you, again, we're talking to Stacia. She had the eggs that were harvested from her friend, inseminated by the father of her friend, or I should say the husband of her friend, and then put inside of her so she could be the host, kind of like that movie Alien. And so at a certain point, they come to you because they want round two? They want more kids?
Yeah. And also because you need to remember there's two other eggs sitting in a lab that are going to be sitting in a frozen whatever they call it.
That's what they have skeet shooters for.
Well, anyway.
It just seems like kind of a big favor to ask somebody twice.
Well, it just happened.
I know it just happened, but I mean, the first time you're supposed to only carry one child, but it broke off and you had twins. So they have as many kids as they would have had had this thing gone according to plan two times anyway.
And they also have a huge house. Both of them come from highly educated backgrounds.
And no monetary no compensation for you.
Well, I mean, when I was off of work, they did help me a little bit, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I do have a child. I mm-hmm. My child is in private school.
Mm-hmm.
I am a homeowner.
And they paid for all the prenatal care and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. How about just this, though? It's like Stacia goes up to him and goes, I had to go to the OBGYN unexpectedly last week, and it was emergency, and it's $133, and the person gets their checkbook out and does this one. You know that,
that's what I would do.
You know that sound you make when you pull your checkbook out, when the mechanic goes, I know you paid the $1,300 in advance, but the vacuum assist alternator was another $146, and I need that, and they do that. You know that, I'm writing the check, but I'm not happy about it sound that almost everyone makes when they write the check, that condescending, could you just imagine that? They never gave you any attitude, did they,
Stacia? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right, and your, something's, I don't, your husband.
My husband is an awesome man, and you guys, you know what? He is, any woman would be lucky to have him.
He's gay!
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. And mm-hmm. he is He's awesome.
Right now, he's in his convertible PT Cruiser.
No, he has an H3.
He has a what?
An H3.
Ah, Hummer.
Of course, yes, and he gets them regularly as well.
Ah, okay. I guess that's one thing you're going to get a lot of when your wife is pregnant with someone else's kids. Hey, Stacia.
Yes.
I can't decide whether you're a saint or insane.
I think both. I think incredibly generous and insane. Also pathological.
Mm.
Oh, no, no.
Something is up.
She's a combination. She's insane.
No.
How about Mother Therese Stacia?
Whatever. Not that first.
Can I take my old cutesy pie one?
Yeah.
I know it's going to be for such a bizarre thing, just like so cutesy, but I kind of like it. I say muffin.
Mm.
And it's short for Egg Mick.
Mm-hmm.
She's Egg McMuffin. You got some extra eggs? Don't worry. She'll take care of them. She'll make you something good out of them.
Hey, Stacia.
And it sounds like a regular nickname. It'll only be your little wink.
McMuffin is fine.
McMuffin's fine?
Or just Muffin. Just even, hey, Muffin. Because people actually say that. And only you and yours will know that you just crap out babies left and right for your friends.
No.
How about this? Now, this is an interesting nickname angle. Because you know what I like about... I like a nickname that evolves, and then you have to go back and explain how you got there. Like, we call you Boxcar, and then people are like, why they call you Boxcar? I mean, why is you hop trains, or no, why Boxcar? Well, they used to call me Boxcar Bertha. Oh, why'd they call you Bertha? Because I was giving birth all the time for other people's things, but it just got shortened to Boxcar. You know, where you start with something, like my buddy the Wheeze, it started with the sex weasel, and it just got down to Wheezy. At a certain point. Hey, Boxcar?
Yeah, I like Muffin.
All right, we'll go with Muffin.
All right. I forget about that.
Well, God bless you, Stacia, for helping out your friend.
Literally doing the Lord's work. T.
Yep.
Give a tease, and we'll take a break, and we'll do the news next.
Well, I'm going to update you on Danny Bonaducci's legal situation.
I hate that I'm sitting right here, and she's going up. Why won't you update me now? No, we don't talk first. That's the rules.
And we'll hear some of Marion Jones' press conference. Very teary.
She's the Olympian the Olympic athlete that got busted for the clear the other day.
Yeah.
Or it's been a while, but now she's copping to it. All right, we'll do that next.
And now, Alcoa presents... Definitely not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sylvania, Alabama. A 52-year-old woman was charged with resisting arrest, assault, animal cruelty, and driving under the influence of methamphetamine and marijuana after police found her swerving around town roads. On a horse! Definitely not a Jew!
T.
Nice. Yeah.
Let's do the news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
88-degree heat and sweltering humidity shut down yesterday's Chicago Marathon and left one runner dead, and 49 were sent to area hospitals. Another 250 were treated at the site. Chad Scheiber of Midland, Michigan, 35 years old, collapsed while running on the south side, was pronounced dead shortly before 1 p.m. And this was record heat for this marathon. The highest it had been before was 84 back in 1979.
Wouldn't the guy have died anyway? And was he going to make it to 85?
Well, he was 35.
Right. Was he going to make it to 85 had he not run the marathon? Right. You know, they do that thing all the time where there was an earthquake. It was a 7.2. It hit the San Fernando Valley. There are two fatalities, both heart attacks. You know, it's like, well, if me jostling you in bed a little bit is going to kill you, weren't you going to die the next day of a heart attack? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you can kill yourself by running in heat, but... there are people that have bad tickers. There are people that just drop dead. We do this thing where everything kills you. You're flying in an airplane. There's a little turbulence and you die.
Right.
It's not the airplane turbulence that killed you. It's not the earthquake that killed you unless a parking structure lands on you. This may not have been the running that killed him. There's a certain percentage of people just die on their 35th birthday.
There were we were watching some show and it seemed to be sponsored by some pill to give you... an erection that will work for up to 3 days instead of you have to take it an hour and then use it, whatever that pill is.
Cialis? Mm-hmm.
Cialis. Mm. And at the end of the commercial, they always say, make sure your doctor says you're well enough to have sex. And that's when I remember talking to you guys about that. Amy would always look at me at the end and go, are you okay? Like I was going to die from it. But you can. People do.
Yeah, there are a certain percentage of people, Adam's right, who die young. They just drop dead of an aneurysm or a heart attack. Although right. This was obviously a strain.
He was straining, but you're always doing something. I mean,
Elvis was straining.
You can die in your sleep. You can die on the pot. You can die having sex. You can die trying to lift something heavy. If you're going to die, you can die.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this, T.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cialis and the 3-day erection.
Yes.
According to the Jewish faith.
Right.
When you die, they need to put you in the ground pretty soon, right?
Away, within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So what if a Jewish man...
Yeah. Took some Cialis.
Took some Cialis, died having sex through a sheet with his wife, and then they had to bury him...
Yeah.
With his boner. With the boner.
Well, I'll tell you, only the Orthodox... The sex through the sheet thing is kind of a myth. Only super, super Orthodox people do that, and that's only when the woman's having her period.
So all your... Even the widely spotted North American Jew?
We don't have sex through a sheet. Mm-hmm. You do. My great uncle Nota, he was a painter, and he did die having sex. That was the story
awesome.
In the family.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about Jews, we're pretty open about that kind of thing.
So if he was on Cialis, they would have had to bury him on his belly?
They put a little hole in the top of the coffin to make sure he's comfortable, and they call it a day.
Two things. One, if one of the two of us is going to die having sex, it's going to be her. And two, you have to be aroused. It's saying it will give you an erection when you want it any time in those 3 days, not a constant.
Because
that would be
okay.
A Priapus or a Prius.
Priapism.
One you drive and one you drive.
One's a constant erection. That's right.
One's a hybrid vehicle.
Sorry.
Here's
Mine's
another,
both.
Here's another story about running. Marion Jones.
Yeah.
As you guys probably heard on Friday, the Olympic track and field superstar, she admitted in court that she used steroids. She pled guilty to federal criminal charges that she lied to investigators about that steroid use before her 5-medal performance at the 2000 Summer Games in Sydney. Afterwards, she held a press conference to publicly apologize. Here she is apologizing to her family members, of which she has quite a few.
To you, my fans, including my young supporters, the United States Track and Field Association, my closest friends, my attorneys, and the most classy family a person could ever hope for, namely my mother, my husband, my children, my brother and his family, my uncle, and the rest of my extended family, I want you to know that I have been dishonest. And you have the right to be angry with me. I have let them down. I have let my country down. And I have let myself down.
See, here's why. See, I have that hypervigilance. So play that again from the top, because here's how it would go for me.
To you, my
be
fans.
Like, to my fans, my friends.
Including my young supporters.
Amelia Earhart. What's going on up here? Is there a goddamn crop dusting convention? Orville! Wilbur! Would you clear your ass off? I'm trying to apologize to my effing family. Jesus Christ. What's going on with civil aviation in this country? I mean, I intentionally chose a place that wasn't under any major hub or carrier commercial airliners, and I got this guy in a Piper Cub buzzing me around. Jesus Christ, anyone got one of those Surface Air? Hey, Abdul, anyone packing? Jesus Christ.
I heard that my whole life.
Oh, who's out there? Hey, John Denver, the bay's that way, buddy. Take a dip.
Partridge Family was right
God
under the
damn it.
The Columbia Ranch right here in Burbank, right under the flight path of Burbank. The Burbank Airport.
Right.
And anytime we do anything outside, we do it over and over and over, and it still wouldn't work, and we'd end up in a looping stage next week.
It's right.
I don't know it's why they put those two so close together.
Yeah. What's going on up there? Skywriting?
Choppers. I don't know. Incoming.
All right.
Anabolic. Some guy trying to write anabolic steroids before the wind blew it all away and it just says spadoids.
I'm sure it made a painful experience all the worse.
Yes.
For Marion Jones. And the head of track and field's governing body is calling Marion Jones one of the biggest frauds in sporting history. It's not clear yet whether she'll be stripped of her Olympic medals.
I'm assuming she will.
I would say it's highly likely that she will. She took steroids from September 2000 to July 2001 and said she was told by her then coach Trevor Graham that she was taking flaxseed oil when it was the steroid THG.
Well, how does it work? I mean, you THG. Can't. You can strip the medals, but you can't take all the endorsement money back and what she made from winning all the medals.
Right. And from what I understand, it became clear before she admitted it that she had been using performance-enhancing drugs, and her endorsements and also her appearance fees for going to these events had been lowering steadily. So I think it was already affecting her income.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Danny Bonaducci's income.
Mm.
Will that be affected?
Let's hear about that.
Well,
I can't believe I'm hearing about this at the same time you are.
As you already know, Danny Bonaducci will not be charged for messing up Survivor reject Johnny Fairplay's mouth by tossing him over his head at the taping of the Fox Reality Channel's Really Awards last week.
When does that air? Did it air?
No, it's going to air next Saturday night.
I'm guessing to some serious ratings for a change.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, it's funny because you're, of course, worried about, you know, even though I've been cleared of and everything before, I knew I would. And even after I was cleared, I was very worried about people being mad at me about their television show and stuff.
Right.
Those guys called me up later that day, the reality channel or Fox.
Yeah,
reality,
Fox Reality Channel.
And said, before you do the talk show circuit, we're going to hand deliver a DVD of the event so you can show exactly what you've done to the audience.
Smart.
Okay, they're not mad at me. No, very smart.
Well, had you ever heard of the Really Awards before?
No, but I've heard of them now.
Bonaducci put him on the map.
I put him on the floor, then I put him on the map.
The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office pretty much sided with Danny, saying that Fairplay, quote, initiated contact and acted offensively. Prosecutors added, it did not appear that Bonaducci intentionally tried to cause injuries, but simply reacted to Fairplay's actions. Danny, though, may not be completely off the hook. The case has been passed over to the city attorney's office, and if they choose to, they could hit Danny with a misdemeanor. It will not be surprising if Johnny Fairplay files a lawsuit over all this. But if two separate prosecutors' offices decline to file criminal charges against Danny, it would probably be pretty tough for Johnny Fairplay to prevail in a civil case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now going to the city attorney's office. It seems likely that the same decision that the county DA made would happen here.
And I'm actually pals with one of the city attorneys, remember?
Yeah,
he's
a
very nice man.
The Fair Play camp will see how the city reacts. And if the city says no times two, then they'll realize we probably don't have much of a case.
They could still file a civil suit. And I don't know. Here's
the problem. Yeah. If they clear me twice, which I assume that they will, I would imagine the city attorney will agree. I mean, there's videotape. You can't miss it. It's not like I'm guessing what they'll do. I'm saying, here's what I'd do if I saw that tape. I'd quit Danny Bonaducci. The guy jumped on him and did something he refers to as the monkey hump. Mm-hmm. I get to defend myself from being humped without inviting. It's called sexual assault. Mm-hmm. In my book.
I haven't ran into anybody or met anybody, and tons of people have asked me, who takes Fairplay's side.
No, not one person I met personally that says, not even, you could have taken it easy on him, which is weird because I couldn't. I was the easiest way. I just hoisted him on. I didn't punch him. I didn't run him to the ground. Nothing.
I want you to know how bad it is. Even his own mother, Eunice Fairplay, will not take her son's side on this one. And she normally stands behind him. Yes.
But I talked to, if you remember, I'm not saying I talked to this person about this case. I am saying, do you remember I had a very nice charity boxing account?
Robert
Shapiro.
Yes.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Shapiro, has given me any legal advice.
But
some lawyer somewhere said, if this guy finds a lawyer after the DA has said you acted in self-defense, you can sue Johnny Fairplay, count and sue him. Fine, that's fine.
Yeah.
What you really want to do is sue that lawyer and move to have him disbarred.
Uh-huh.
And that is exactly what I will do.
And it'll be a catch-22 thing, too, because only a horrible lawyer would accept this case. Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir?
What do you have to say for yourself?
Trying to be succinct about it, I've been having the greatest time just following the advice that you three put out every day. And I took a piece of your advice that you gave out on Friday when you said that when, like, you're underneath the water and you're holding your breath
and you, there's something in you that says, just keep pushing just a little bit further and maybe see if you can go a little bit further. Mm-hmm. That's the greatest piece of advice I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Really?
I challenged my sister's abusive boyfriend to a fist fight, which I was terrified of because I was so tired of him abusing her.
Uh-huh.
And that's a Danny Bonaducci in me. So all you Bonaducci haters need to be quiet or turn down the dial. I don't know what to tell you, man. The guy's got the job. He works it. You know, what do you want from him? Teresa, you're a lovely
I love this guy. I love this guy.
What thanks, about Michael. T? What'd she do?
Teresa is a lovely girl who probably just takes things too hard to heart like I do sometimes. But, man, just hold your breath underwater and see how far you can keep pushing.
Give it 15 minutes. See what happens.
Hopefully I won't come
all
back.
All right, Michael. I'm glad we're able to inspire you.
I just got out of jail.
Oh.
A little
you should have talked to me about advice then.
You want to be one of Danny's MySpace friends?
Hey, absolutely, my man. I would love that very much.
That's bitchin'. It's Bonaducci, Bonaduce, and then the number's 318. Any and all friends, I answer as many of you as I can. I love my MySpace. I'm addicted. So please feel free to contact me anytime you want at Bonaducci 318.
Well, Michael?
Yes, sir?
What did you go into jail for?
I was actually arrested on the charge of menacing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a weird one.
Now,
a misdemeanor of some kind. I don't know. They were pretty vague.
Do you think it's a good idea to just get out of jail and then go threaten your sister's boyfriend?
No, sir. That's what I went to jail for.
Oh, okay. Good times.
Give me the courage. Thank you for giving me the courage.
Oh, and then he backed down and you menaced him.
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay.
I see. He is a punk.
All right, Michael.
Now, menacing is the grown-up charge of, or version of,
bullying,
I'm not touching
threatening.
Her. I'm not touching taunting. Her. I'm not touching
mm-hmm.
her. It's this. What are you going to do? What? Every time
Adam,
you
this
see
is radio.
Him, you give him the creepy look like
right.
something
yes,
could happen. Yes. That's menacing.
Yes.
Hey, absolutely.
Not that I know all the right. answer to all these crimes.
Michael, what is your plan now?
Well, I'm going to go home and take a shower. And
thank you.
Take a nap, and then maybe do some thinking then.
Reopen the preschool and just pick up where you left off, or?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
What business are you in? What do you do?
I do phone sales, sir.
Yeah.
What do you sell?
Phones. Over the phone, ironically.
It's weird.
Now, what
because
do you
if
do?
They answer, they automatically don't need his product.
What do you sell?
I sell all sorts of things. I actually independently contract myself out, so I've sold the computer services mm-hmm. over the phone and candles and martial arts services too, because there's this guy I know and he needs help.
A lot of range.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional
Michael,
facility.
Please play this when you make your next call. And then another thing, Michael, just a tip.
Yes,
tip
sir.
For you, and I've given this before, I'll give it again. For anyone doing phone sales, go ahead and familiarize yourself with the name of the person you're calling so you don't have to go, yes, hello, is Mr. Adam Carrillo? Carrillo? Is Adam Carrillo there? Right, because I know you're not a close friend when you're having difficulty pronouncing my last name. Give it a quick read-see before you dial. That's all.
The read-see.
T?
Yep.
What else is left in the news, baby girl?
Pamela Anderson got married.
To what?
Oh, this is...
To what?
I mean, sometimes people... It's almost relaxing how predictable life is.
When you're making love to a girl with that much plastic in her, even though she has hep C, do you need a condom? Or does she have it covered internally?
Interesting. Interesting.
I hadn't thought about that. Pamela Anderson married a guy named Rick Solomon.
No way. Can it get sicker?
You know him from One Night in Paris.
Sure.
He was the boyfriend of Paris Hilton. You see him in that homemade sex tape. He also used to be married to Shannon Doherty. Their marriage was annulled, I believe.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Anderson, 40, wore a white denim Valentino dress.
Classy white denim.
White denim.
Real Stevie Nicks like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they squeezed their vows in between her 7 and 10 o'clock shows. Because, you know, she's in that magic show, Hans Klock's The Beauty of Magic at Planet Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So between the 7 and the 10, they got married.
Why don't you just wait until after the 10 o'clock yeah. show? It's not like Vegas closes down at midnight.
What are you doing for your honeymoon? Getting sawed in half.
Seems odd that you would have to squeeze it in between the shows.
Yeah, it's like, what happened? Well, we got married, and then some guy with pirate boots made her disappear. So it's kind of blue. I ended up masturbating during the honeymoon.
Hey, speaking of marriage, can I interject one thing real quick? This important and serious, or my wife would never call me for this.
Okay.
Apparently, there's this charity event we do every year, the Lily Claire event. It's a wonderful charity, and I go every year, and she goes every year. And she would like to bring a date this year, and she'd like to start dating now. And she's dead serious, and she called me, and she said no one will go out with her. Mm-hmm. My wife is stunningly beautiful, has a lot of money now.
Yeah.
And according to her, I think there's got to be other reasons, but according to her, no one will date her because of me. They think you go out with my wife, I'm going to jump out of the bushes and kill you.
Correctamundo. Mm-hmm.
Wrong, and I will tell you why.
Okay.
When we went on the Dr. Phil show, her one stipulation was, I will appear if Dr. Phil promises not to try and get us back together. That will never happen, and will just make Dr. Phil look foolish. Mm-hmm. So I'm never getting her back, right?
Right.
So therefore, the next best step is to get her off my payroll.
Right.
She costs $16,000 a month.
Wow.
Not only can you guys go out with her, and I say this with certainty because she's a very good Christian girl. I'm not going to be that jealous right off the bat. But if you're the one that marries her, I will pay for your honeymoon. I will send you anywhere in the world if you marry my wife. I will never bother you that you dated my wife. I will never say anything bad about you on the radio unless you want me to. And then I'll plug your business while you plug my ex. Mm. Whatever you want to do, I'm dead serious. That is a free agent, lovely girl, and she deserves better than to be alone.
Couple of things. First off, this isn't some trick where I marry Gretchen, you buy us a honeymoon ticket, and it's a one-way ticket to Palookaville.
Well, I could have been somebody.
It's got to be round trip. No, I'm going to Palookaville. I'm not going to pay my own way back from Palookaville. Number one. Number two, is Johnny Fairplay single? Because that would be
funny.
Can you imagine?
You know what? There was a point where anybody she married that did anything better than I did, like if he was like really tall, I was like, how could you do that to me? If he was really muscle, how could you do that to me? If he was really super, how could you? I don't care if he's an Adonis from Princeton with 24-inch biceps. Just marry her.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be jealous.
No, actually, believe it or not, you know how paralyzed and crying all the time I was?
Yeah.
I'm pretty much, I mean, I love her. She's a great wife and a great mother. But yeah, I'm good.
I think you're right. I think you did process it. And by the way, back to the Johnny Fairplay thing. I forgot to mention this, but I think it bears mentioning. He might not have a case against you civilly, especially because one DA's thrown it out and the second probably will. Do you think he would go after the deep pockets of Fox or Fox Reality?
I think he might give it a try. He will also lose there. The reality awards are, because I said this to the district attorney, that the reality awards are about reality shows. Not only can anything happen, it's fully expected to happen. Nobody did anything that was written for them on that stage. Almost no one. Everybody made stuff up. Everybody got drunk. Everybody ran around. It's the surreal life of award shows.
Right.
So there is
assumed risk
that something out of character might happen. He, as a matter of fact, was doing something out of character. There was prompter lines he was supposed to be reading. And instead, he stopped the show and said, why are you booing me? Why are you booing me? I can't believe you would boo me. So he was already doing something unprecedented in the show. So he could fairly... people are wandering off and on the stage all night. So I had assumed that he'll lose.
Probably.
So marry my wife.
Although, I'll tell you, sadly, how the legal system works. If one person has a bloody mouth and the other person has a lot of money, sometimes they just give the guy money.
Say, here's 50 grand, go away.
Right. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Somebody wants Gretchen's number. This is going
to
spin
off. It's a great way to meet somebody.
No, you know what? You can go to MySpace or whatever, and I will send her your phone number.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it that way.
Please marry her. Please, please be a gentleman. Have a good job. Be a good stepfather to my children. We'll get along great, and I will send you on your honeymoon anywhere in the world.
It would have been an interesting concept to share with our forefathers. So... there'll be a guy in the future who will spend $16,000 a month on a wench that he does not get to have sex with.
Right.
Their heads, it'd just be a poof because their powdered wigs would explode. It'd right. look like a big puff of talcum right there.
No, it should. Back in the good old days, you just drowned them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, Michael Ian Black from, where was he from most famously?
Most people know him from the I Love the 80s series, and he's also in Viva Variety and Stella. Like and,
I think he was part of Stella, the right. State.
Yep. No, in the State, yeah. Yes. We'll talk to Michael Ian Black, comedian, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
I seen a lot of other billboards during the drive that day. Didn't say you to any of them. You know, I seen maybe 20 billboards for Cracker Barrel. You know, not once was I like, you, Cracker Barrel! Even though my personal relationship with Cracker Barrel is far worse than my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has never given me diarrhea, for example.
Currently on his I Am a Wonderful Man comedy tour, Michael Ian Black on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to talk to you again, Michael.
Good morning, Mr. Carolla. How are you?
Good. Well, let's see. We'll tell everyone where you're going to be and talk about new movies and projects and things like that.
You want to know what some of the places are going to be?
Sure.
Some of the places we're number one.
Really?
You're on the right radio show, buddy. Yeah, he's in Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On October 9th at, what is it?
Numos.
Is it Numos, that what it's called? He'll be at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. That's October 10th. We'll get through all of these, but he'll be in Frisco, here in Los Angeles, Vegas, again, where we're number one, and San Diego. You're on the right radio show, mister, so don't suck.
I knew that. I knew that from the moment I got on.
All right, now, don't suck and wreck up that setup.
I'm not making any promises.
I'm going to let you get away with saying Frisco.
Hey, oh, you don't like that. Yeah, San Luis. Don't like the San Luis. Hey, Michael, it's been a while, but back in the day, we were both competing for the same spot
at
Craig
we
Ferguson.
I remember that.
Really?
Yeah, now I remember seeing Michael Ian Black, too.
And I remember watching it because I was watching to see what the competition was like, and I thought Michael Ian Black was very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I said to my wife, not only is this guy good, but this is progressive. CBS is going to hire a gay man to host. And then she said, he's not gay. And I said, yeah, I think I can tell when a man is gay. And she said, oh, no, he's not. And
no,
I backhanded her.
She was right. Now, listen to me.
Yes.
The last time we spoke, you also discussed my sexuality, mm-hmm. and I feel like you have a very, very strong interest in my supposed homosexuality, and it makes me wonder if secretly you don't want me to be gay, and that makes me wonder further if there's not something going on with you that you want to share with your audience.
Mm. So you're saying that I'm trying to will Michael Ian Black to become gay?
I'm saying that your wanting me to be gay is more a reflection of something that's going on with you than something that's going on with me. Now, look.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right.
Love Lines was a long time ago,
sure.
Adam, so I don't want to get too far into this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I suspect there's something there.
Mm. You may be right.
Here's what I think it is, and tell me if I'm wrong, Adam.
I'm a gay man.
Michael Ian Black is very funny and very attractive, and maybe in your mind, unconsciously, you'd like to remove him as a competitor.
He poses a threat because he's in my category.
Right.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just gay.
It's interesting.
Let's see how you can do with this on philosophizing my idea. I think I want you to be gay because I want to bone you. How's that? Can you figure that one out? Can you dig deep enough?
The directness of that actually turns me on.
See, there you go. Okay.
Now I could be gay.
But Michael, am I the only guy who makes this mistake?
No. Oh, heavens, no. No,
everybody says, oh, heavens, no. Okay, there's a hint right there.
Exactly right.
You're gay for saying that.
I can't help it. I'm a very gay acting straight man. But the ladies like that.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, no. What the ladies want is a hetero gay. They want someone who has all the qualities of a gay man, yet likes heterosexual sex. So that's you.
Exactly right. Now, listen to me. Interior decorating, I love it.
Really? Come
arts
over.
And crafts, I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking, sure.
And do you bedazzle?
No, that I draw. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Wow,
I'd
be nice if Danny had a Sharpie so that he could draw the line somewhere.
Do I admire bedazzling? Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Could you change a tire if you had to?
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? tires will really change. They'll always be tires.
They have to want to change.
All guys, yeah.
That's true.
They have
well,
to
here's the whole thing. I always complain about guys sort of turning into women and women slowly turning into guys. And eventually, I just picture it as a giant axe.
Mm-hmm.
And we started in the dawn of civilization at the base of the axe.
Right.
The man was on the left side, a woman was on the right side, and as we got closer and closer to where they cross, which is about 14 to 16 years away, according to my calculations, we at the point where they cross, where the X crosses, a man becomes a woman, and woman is man, they're just one and the same, and then eventually we're going to start turning into women. Our genitalia is going to fall off, and you ladies are going to hit it with your golf clubs as it scurries across the grass. I'm sure this is going to happen, but... Michael, comedians are even more worthless than regular guys are in society.
Oh, no question. We contribute nothing to society.
And whereas your average guy these days can't change a tire, your average comedian can't put air in a tire. Do you know what I'm saying?
A lot of times can't even drive.
Can't get the tire out of the trunk of the car.
Right.
Most comedy writers and comedians I know couldn't free up the spare tire from the trunk of their car.
But he can make a hilarious joke about K-Fed.
There you go.
On the other hand, you know what a really good comic can change? A person's mind.
Oh, now that was very deep.
Because I was a really big fan of Bill Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go on there and people would be booing him when we'd get to the really religious parts. And then you'd see people start to ponder their own beliefs. And you'd go, that guy's not just a comic. That's an orator up there on stage.
Well,
so that's something
funny.
A good comic can do.
You were playing that clip of mine from my CD. And one of the biggest laughs I get is when I say, basically, F you, Jesus. And people just eat that up. And it always surprises me. I always think I'm going to get booed and pelted with things. But people like to hear it.
Second biggest laugh. First biggest, I'm straight. First biggest is, I was talking to, here's the first biggest laugh, yeah. Michael Ian Black gets. I was talking to my wife the other day. And then she said,
are you married, Michael Ian Black?
Yes, I'm married.
What's his name?
Stop it, my side hurts.
Oh, man.
How was the ceremony in Hawaii?
Yes, I'm married.
Does she know it?
Michael, would you like to take, I just pulled out my GAT test, my gay aptitude test. Would you like to take it along with the folks at home?
I think I'm going to do very well in that.
All right. Well, let's see. First off, you give yourself 1 point for every diet soda you have in your fridge. One point for every diet soda.
All right, now, I think I get extra points because the wife and I don't keep any sodas at all because they're fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Even diet soda.
Do I get extra points for that?
Yeah.
No.
You
deduct points for not even having the balls to have diet soda because they're bad for you, so you don't have anything that's fattening?
No, all right. But look, will I drink a Diet Dr. Pepper? Mm-hmm. You bet I will.
Yeah, I enjoy those,
you
too.
You wild thing, you.
Oh, all right.
I'm a madman.
Give yourself a point for every turtleneck sweater you have in your closet, and 2 points for every mock turtleneck. Oh.
Your aptitude test is wrong.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Mock turtle, no
exactly
gay man
right.
would wear.
No self-respecting gay man would have a mock turtleneck.
You're right, Michael.
It was a trick question to weed out the gays. You see, straight guys go, what's a mock turtleneck? You know it well and know it wouldn't be in your closet.
Extra points, right? I do have one turtleneck. It's a sweater, though.
All right. How about a dickie?
That's also a trick question, isn't it?
People know what a dickie is
anymore? Yeah, I used to wear them. Sure. I used to wear them.
Yeah. I actually don't know what a dickie
is.
It's a turtleneck sweater, except there's no arms or body to it. You just put it under, you pull it over your head, and then you button up your button-up shirt so it looks like you're wearing a turtleneck under your shirt.
I've got several of those, but they're made out of leather. Is that gay?
No, that's my style, mister.
Let's see. Do you drink, when you drink alcohol... Is it a drink that comes from a blender?
It's a drink that comes from Oreo cookies and ice cream.
All right.
Whipped together in a froth. Is that gay?
How about saying the word froth makes you at least buy? How about...
I enjoy Kahlua.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which is yogurt in the fridge. And not regular yogurt like strawberry and lemon. I'm talking exotic flavored yogurts, coconut cream, papaya, key lime, French vanilla, cheesecake, things like that. Any exotic flavored yogurts in the fridge?
On this question, I fall on the side of my straight brethren. No yogurt. I don't like eating anything with yeast that isn't bread.
Okay. I can dig it. How about potted plants around the house? And go ahead and deduct for the Venus flytrap if you have one, because that's a plant that eats meat. Yeah.
We do have potted plants, but that's my wife's doing.
Oh, hold on. He said his wife, I guess.
You leave Robert out of there.
Let's see. Now, here's a weird one.
Yeah.
But I learned this from Dr. Drew, and we did a little research, and it turns out we're right. He bought two houses, one house and one condo. The house was cleaned out after the previous folks that lived in there moved. There was one thing that was left behind in each shower stall, and it was a squeegee. A squeegee was left behind to squeegee off the Lucite shower door, the glass shower door. Squeegee in the shower, Michael Ian Black.
Now, I happen to know that the squeegee is it's specifically a problem in humid and sort of temperate climates where molds can fester and grow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that problem in the wilds of Connecticut where I live.
Uh-huh.
So there's no squeegeeing in my home.
So you're saying it's a regional, it's a gay regional thing.
It's specifically a gay regional
thing. What about pronouncing it Connecticut? Are we going to add?
No.
Okay.
He's a local.
All right.
How about shoes? Do you own more than 8 pairs of shoes?
Yeah.
Okay,
but he's an actor.
I even have a pair of shoes with a buckle on them.
Ooh!
He's a pilgrim and a homo.
Let's see. You ever shave any area down below your neck? Junk, chest, back, things like that?
I will occasionally simply pluck my nipple hair.
All right, well, that's as straight as an activity gets. And what about this? Have you ever had anything framed? Now, let me explain what straight guys do. Straight guys get a poster, probably of, like, Miss Makita, 1988.
Right. Okay.
And they hold it above their head, and they say, I'm going to frame this.
Right.
They go on the Journey reunion concert tour, and they get a big poster that says, Don't Stop Believing. And they go, I'm going to frame this. But they never frame it.
Right.
They make a lot of proclamations of framing, but they never actually frame. A gay man actually heads down and gets things framed. Have you ever had anything framed, Michael Ian Black?
Well, not only have I gotten things framed, I've agonized over the kind of frame that I'm going to use.
Mm.
Will it be metal? Will it be wood? Will it be distressed wood?
And then like borders, you talk about that.
Then I have to worry about the matting. What's the matting going to be like?
I don't even know what that word is.
Yeah.
That is gay.
I have failed so much more of this test than Michael has.
You use one of those padded toilet seats?
No, that's not gay.
All right.
Unless you're particularly sensitive back there for other reasons, you wouldn't. No gay man would.
So far,
have that.
I'm gay on everything.
Do you wrap gifts in things other than foil or the sports page? Straight guys wrap gifts in newspaper.
Yeah.
Probably the funny pages, things like that.
I have two answers to this. First of all, yes. And I appreciate good wrapping paper, because a lot of times there's that very thin kind of Kmart wrapping paper that you can kind of see through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for that. I like the Martha Stewart Living collection of wrapping paper.
Oh, wow.
Thick,
you're into the bonus round here, my friend.
Now, however, I am terrible at wrapping gifts. Just atrocious at it. I can't do it to me.
Yeah,
like
interesting, but you used the word atrocious.
Yeah, and also knowing the name of the wrapping paper.
That was like knowing
the thread count in your sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
that's
generally 200.
I've lost 9 out of 10, and with that one answer, you just became gayer than me.
How about this, Michael Ian Black? Custom stationery.
No.
Okay. All right. And last question. Actually, there's two more. Have you ever seen anything on ice other than hockey? You know, if you see hockey, you're a straight guy. But if you go see
Cinderella on ice.
Yeah, Mickey fill in the ice, blank on ice.
I'm currently conceptualizing Tchaikovsky's Peter and the Wolf on ice.
Do you own leather pants?
No, I already described the leather. I described the leather items in my closet. I own leather dickies, leather hats, leather socks, and leather chapless briefs. But it, I don't know if no, I mean buttless chaps. Is that right. The, is that?
Getting... yes, it would all count. All right. Well,
I have a Harley, so I have the buttless chaps and the black leather pants.
Well, there's nothing gayer than a Harley.
Let me
kill you.
Let me go ahead and tally up your score. This could take a minute here.
It might take several minutes.
Let's see. Why don't you give them some plugs, T and Danny, while I'm figuring this out.
You can enjoy I Am a Wonderful Man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your CD, Michael Ian Black?
That is the CD, I Am a Wonderful Man. Now, have you guys seen the CD? Because if you open up the flap on the CD, you will see that there's a naked centerfold of me on the CD itself. Now, is that gay, having a naked centerfold of yourself?
Hey, can I ask you about your Jesus joke that gets the second biggest laugh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. F you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I say, and this is true, that I was driving down the road fairly recently, and I saw a billboard, and the billboard said this: Jesus Christ is the only Lord and Savior. Now, what does it say about me that my reaction to seeing this billboard was to say out loud, and keep in mind I was driving by myself at the time, was to say this: F you, Jesus. Or it was to say F you, I guess, is just that.
Right.
Gets a big laugh.
Sure.
People like that.
But not as big as I was talking to my wife. All right, Michael Ian Black.
Now, let me say something. I was surprised when you said you had a wife, not because I thought you were gay, but just because I assumed you were divorced.
Oh, me.
Ah. What would make you assume that, Michael?
He just seems like kind of a scummy guy.
Wait, are you sure you're talking to Adam? I see Adam as being very, very difficult to live with.
Uh-huh.
But the bonus rounds, not just the money and the quick wit, but Adam can build you. If you give Adam a couple of toothpicks, he'll build you a condo. That woman, that is very appealing to women.
Oh, you have carpentry skills.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You don't get him started, please, dear God.
That is very surprising.
I'm not kidding you that he could build you a house. I swear to God, from the ground up. But the wiring, the light switches, dimmers, everything that you would ever need to make a house be a beautiful home, Adam Carolla, if had the time, could do it with no help.
But only Michael Ian Black could make it a home.
Yeah, that's right.
With pot of plants and the yogurt.
I would ask you to make a hutch upon which to place my samovar.
Could I ask you to make me a Starsky just so I can look at him again?
All right, Michael Ian Black, let me just total up the points here. Here's how it goes. If you scored 20 or below 20, you're definitely straight.
Yeah.
This is the process. I'll give you your score at the end. 20 to 35, sort of bi, experimented a couple times in college. 35 to 40, gay, but you're what we call a prison top. You know what I mean? You're technically gay, but your butch is a day as long.
Right.
40 to 50, recreational bottom.
Right.
Ooh. You do the bottom, but it's not every day. And 50 plus, well, then you're just bored up, Bill, over there.
Right.
Just about to combust it. You got
112.
Well, it was 1,421 points. So I have to reevaluate this chart. Hey, Michael Ian Black, come see us in studio when you're in town next, please.
You're a very good sport. And by the way, there's so many dates. If you want, the easiest way, since everybody's on MySpace, and I'm sure we'll put these up on AdamCarolla.com.
Yes, I guess so.
Because he's such a good sport. But also, everybody that's on MySpace, and since there's billions of them, you can go to myspace.com/MichaelAllenBlack2.
Ian.
Michael
Black.
Ian Black.
Learn my name.
Why?
Michael Ian Black. All right, so there you go. Thanks, Michael Ian Black.
Thank you, Michael Ian Black.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, it's Monday, thus Music Monday, thus songs. Songs are the category, simply, are name songs. Songs about women's names, men's names. I went with names in the title, not just where they mentioned it.
Yeah.
In the body of the song. But
I may have too, I'm not sure.
Name songs, good and bad. We'll do those next.
Today's music topic, songs with people's names in them. If you got one in mind, call 866-901-ADAM. Let's hear what Adam, Danny, and Teresa have on the Adam Carolla Show.
They say Taylor was a good girl.
Yeah, this was suggested, by the way. This is from Dan. Dan from Las Vegas at AdamCarolla.com suggested this one, and we took it from him. Simple, but should be effective. All right, well, I'll give you a little hint. My first suggestion, and it's a good example. We'll do the good, and then we'll do the bad, as we always do. My first one came. I was watching 60 Minutes last night. Saw the boss.
Yeah.
Saw Bruce on there. Yeah. Now, here's the thing about Bruce, and I feel like I need to qualify my feelings for him with you people and with a lot of people and a lot of artists. I don't dislike Bruce. I just don't like him as much as everyone likes him. And so what ends up happening is everyone starts talking about Bruce Springsteen and what a great songwriter is and so on and so forth. And I go, well, I happen to like John Hyatt. And then the more I hear about Bruce Springsteen, the more I like John Hyatt. And then eventually I start yelling, I hate Bruce Springsteen. When the reality is I don't. Bruce Springsteen does great music, puts on a great concert, and has a lot of great songs. Born in the USA, not one of them. Has a couple of bad songs, but a bunch of great songs.
Rosalina, great song.
Yep, and not a... Oh, well, there it is. Yeah.
This just makes you want to go down to TJ and party your brains out in Rosalina.
Never charted.
You know this one?
Great song.
Never charted. But I swear to God, that horrible song, Having My Baby, was probably charted number one. And that, what year was that? Because this is 73.
This is 73, man?
Wow. I'm shocked. I would have said 77, 76.
I might have gone really close to 1980. I forget how long he's been around. Because I forget how old I am. And I remember when he was discovered.
Right. But great song.
It's not quite. That's a good nickname.
Dynamite?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's his buddy's name.
Yeah.
It's all full of nicknames.
Now, if I find out that Having My Baby by Paul Anka or whoever the hell that was, hold on.
74, number one.
So, no, not that we have time for this, but go find Having My Baby. Okay, so hold on. This epic song right here, this American anthem of a song here by icon Bruce Springsteen, this song did not chart. That's this song's history in 1973. I would say a year later, but probably 6 months later, another song called Having My Baby came out that went to number one. Look, you want to know why I call everyone idiots all the time?
Why would that be?
This song didn't chart. You idiots didn't chart this song, but you did do Having My Baby.
Okay, none of our boys charted Having My Baby. Their girlfriends charted Having
My
Baby.
Maybe.
Our boys didn't chart this song, and for that I'm ashamed of you.
Bald Brian, you give me a big bald thumbs up when you find out when you find Having My Baby.
Big balls up.
All right. Brian, I'm asking you to use three hands today. I understand that. You want to move on to a bad example? This is John Lennon, 1980.
Oh, please.
Singing about his lovely bride, or whatever she was. Even after all these years, I miss you when you're not here. I wish you were here, my dear, here you go. See, not everything he did was great.
No. And sometimes I get sad there isn't a recognizable song with my name, but then I think I'm glad I'm not Michelle, because you have to hear my bell.
Right.
I actually broke up with a girl over this song.
Why?
Not over the song, over this guy. Because she wanted to play the game, who would you have at your dinner table, living or dead, out of history? Mm-hmm. And she said, Jesus, John Lennon. And I stopped her right there. I said, Jesus, And John, if you want Lennon, you want Lennon, not right. John Lennon. I can understand having him over for a regular dinner and that being the coolest guy at your party.
Yeah.
But not if you get five people from history. Do you invite Jesus and John Lennon?
I would use Lennon only as bait for other more interesting guests.
Some that show up. No, these people could be dead thousands of years, and they can still come to your table, but you only get five, and she picked John Lennon as second.
Yeah, that's this song, Dear Yoko, blows ass. Okay, Rosalita did not chart. Here's a song that a couple months... This song was number one, not top ten.
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, but guess too far, we're going to have to sing, you know. Okay.
Now here's a real creepy line right here. Yeah, love what's going through you, babe.
Inside you, see it showing.
Oh, I bet she's pleased about that.
The seed inside.
Oh my God.
How about a metaphor?
Sweaty
metaphor.
Who is this? Who is this? Anka?
She's having pollen.
And this chick can't sing either.
Having my baby.
All right, put on Rosalita again.
It's Master General.
This song doesn't chart. Clarence kicks in.
Yeah. Big man. This is the way he says it, too.
All right. Now there's a great song. Heaven, my baby. He is on the nose with a
seed growing.
I put my phallus in you. Then your sperm impregnated your egg. Now it's in its gestation period. Hopefully we'll get to the second trimester. You're a zygote.
What rhymes with vaginal delivery?
Put you through it.
You're a dick.
I swept it from your life.
Oh my God.
But you wouldn't do it.
Could have got the abortion, but you didn't go for it.
They wouldn't do it.
My penis came between us. You know what
I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Gee, if you had to sing this with Paul Anka in 1974, would you have to keep a throw up bucket next year?
It'd probably be pretty challenging.
If I'm not mistaken, Paul Anka also has a very short left leg and wears a large platform shoe.
What?
Yeah, he's got a leg like 6 inches shorter than the other and wears a 6-inch
platform. Oh, really?
If I'm correct, yeah.
He wears a stripper wedgie on one foot. All right. That would be my policy, by the way.
What?
If you have one leg shorter when I'm president,
yeah.
If you have one leg shorter than the other, you don't get to get the Puma with the extra 2-inch rubber sole on it that's supposed to look like the other Puma that's normal that's on your left foot. You have to wear one of those acrylic stripper wedgies.
Well,
I want to know who you are. What's that?
Partridge Family looked very weird then.
What happened?
Brian Forrester had a club foot and a short leg. Second crest.
Which one was
the second crest?
Yeah, he would wear two pairs of shoes. One, say, like mine, a size 9, and the other one would be a child size 6. And his leg was about 3 inches shorter than the other.
Damn. Didn't know that. The other thing is no one has the short leg. I think they must correct it at birth now. Didn't everyone have one kid in their grade school that had that weird extra wedge thing? He ran a little funny. It looked a little weird. You felt sorry for him, but not so sorry that you wouldn't make fun of him. That kid ain't around anymore. Our kids are going to grow up in America where they don't get to make fun of that kid. Do you want that?
I don't know what kind of generation we're going to be raising.
If you can't raise a generation of people that are free and clear to make fun of the handicap, you're not a real American.
We need to take a break. I have a couple more. Oh, play me my next one quickly. I don't know why. I like the artist, but I hate this song.
Oh, I like this song.
It's not a bad
Clapton.
Song.
You don't like Clapton?
I like Clapton. I like the artist. I don't like the song. I like Clapton.
I kind of like the song.
It's not even a bad song. Yeah. I just never want to hear it again.
It's like something. It's just because it's Clapton and it's not great. It should be great.
I'm going to have to throw Layla in with this. Don't want to hear it again.
Layla's two songs, and they're effed out is what they are. That's what I feel about this. All right, Danny's enjoying this too much, ruining it for me. All right, let's go to another artist. Let's go to an artist I hate.
All night long, just, oh, I'm sorry.
And I hate this song as well.
Darling Nikki. I guess you could
say she was a 16. Oh, so hot,
dude.
He won't perform this in concert anymore. He's too dirty.
Oh, wise found Jesus Christ.
Remember that when he went through that phase?
Actually, he's such a pompous ass, Prince. He says that Jesus found him. He didn't find Jesus. He was at his house. And he was at his big purple mansion when Jesus came and knocked.
That's it, that easy to find. He's like a needle in a haystack, that guy.
Yeah, you could get lost in some high pile carpet. It's like, hey, I think I see a tiara sticking up over in the corner of the room. Where is it? That's Prince. Get the swamp buggy. Let's get Prince out of the carpet. I told you to stay out of the dining room, Prince.
I couldn't believe when this song came out and it used the masturbation word, and I'd never really heard that. I remember being pretty shocked.
Well, you're in the second grade when this came out.
I was very young.
All right. I hate Darling Nikki and I hate Darling Prince. We need to take ourselves a break. We have your suggestions. We have the rest of ours. T and Danny have their good and their bad. I have a good that is good. And I have a bad that is so bad. So take a quick break. We'll hear from you. Music Monday. Name songs next. It's Music Monday. Good and bad. I have a good one waiting. T has a good one. Danny has a good one. And then we get into the bad. Our listeners have some, too.
I have a thing that I think should bother the hell out of you real quick.
All right.
Well, it says here, and this is from a music file. That's true that Paul Anka did chart number one and Rosalita did not chart. But as I'm sure you well know, I Think I Love You beat out the Beatles' Let It Be in 1970.
That's true. It's a famous story.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, my.
I don't...
I feel like killing myself.
He had more fans at the time.
I can't believe I was part of that in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you... Oh, okay, yes. But I don't like Let It Be that much.
Yeah, but I Think I Love You sucks.
Now, Let It Be the album or just the song?
The song.
Yeah. Okay.
That was our... I Think I Love You was our only number one hit.
I like I Think I Love You a lot more than Let It Be. Call Me a Lightweight. Hey, it's the guy who...
I Think I Love You is a good song.
Skip Rope to Umbop every night.
I think I Woke Up in Love this morning was a good song.
I like that song, too.
I think the Fart Joint did some good songs, but the fact that I Think I Love You went number one and Let It Be went, like, number six against each other is almost, like, I feel like I'm going to go to hell.
Oh, come on. This is pretty good.
Oh, it's a good.
It's
a
big.
It's a good song, but
this guy's no Sean Cassidy.
Who is this guy that sings "I Think I Love You"? That would be his brother David Cassidy. And thanks for caring about my career.
Whatever.
It's a good song that I don't want to hear anymore. Like, you know, there's good food that you don't particularly like that much.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to, like, a really good seafood restaurant. Someone orders something, and you go, let me have a taste of that. And they're loving it. And you go, that's really good seafood, but I'm glad I have my flap steak that Ozzy made on the Tupperware. All right, do we have a line 8, by the way? let me talk to Ryan over here. Ryan?
What's going on, Adam?
Now, I see your suggestion up here, but I don't know if it's a good suggestion or a bad suggestion.
You know what? I was going to let you guys decide for that. If I say it's bad, my wife of 8 years is probably going to beat me down through the phone.
Uh-oh.
I got to say, I kind of like this song.
It's not bad, but, you know, Looking Glass was never known for anything but that song.
One hit wonder. That's right.
One hit. I never heard
it's a great song.
Laying whiskey down, they say, Brandy.
I like it already.
Fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. Sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my love, and my lady is a
see.
Yeah, anytime you get my lady into a song.
Oh, it's great.
I love this song.
Where's the finest song. Chain made of finest silver in the north of Spain? A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandon loves. He came from a bringing gifts
right
from far away, but he made it clear he could not stay. No harbor was his home. The sailor said, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. For my life, my love, and my lady.
It's the ocean. I say ocean when I do it live. It cracks everyone up.
Wait to see.
But you're on a roll today.
It's told his story. Oh, this is great lyrics here.
She felt his raging glory, but he had always told this truth. Lord, he was an honest man. And Brandon does her best to understand.
All right. Yeah, we decided it's a good song.
You know
right?
what it is, too? It's the story. Yeah. You're right. Brandy is a waitress in a little fishing village where this guy, the one true love, comes in every now and again, but they can never be together because the sea is his one true love.
That sounds awesome.
This song was
I love that song.
Probably number one about the time the Old Spice commercials had reached their zenith. And I remember as a young 11-year-old growing up in the San Fernando Valley thinking, fully half the men in America are mariners.
Yep.
There's a 50-50 chance I'll make a life at sea. I'm living in landlocked North Hollywood at this time with a car that won't make it over the hill to get to the ocean. But I'm thinking, you know, one day when I'm wearing that pea coat and turtleneck sweater and I'm throwing my rucksack over my shoulder and heading in from a long, long month out at sea. Yes, there we were somehow obsessed with the whole maritime thing. And also, every third song was a song about a guy who looked a chick in the eye and said, I'd like to love you. I know you're the love of my life, but I'm a rambling guy.
I'm a rambling man.
I have to ramble back out to the ocean. I'm straight up with you. I'll have sex with you while we're, you know, landlocked here. And
I'll
then
even
I'm back.
Love you while I'm here.
I will love you, but the problem is my mistress, that's the sea, and she beckons. Sure. All right. T?
The sea. She's a cruel mistress.
She is. You have a good example for us?
I went a different direction. This is a haunting song about an obsessed fan.
Ah, this is Eminem?
Oh,
Brilliant.
Good
song.
Good choice.
I think it's probably his best written song.
It's the first song I ever saw him do with Elton John.
And he samples Dido. Thank you.
Right. And then the song's about obsessed fan, kills him, puts him in the trunk. Or how's it work?
Puts her in the trunk.
I think the fan puts the wife in the trunk.
What happens is he listens to Eminem. Eminem is always talking about chainsawing his wife to death and I'll kill you. And Amy, and I think his other name is Haley. Haley's the daughter and I'll kill you for Haley and I'll stuff you in the trunk. And this guy's been writing him and he won't write back. And now Eminem is just writing him back for right now. He just got one of his letters for the first time. And this guy's really telling him about how he feels the same as Eminem. And at the end of the song, Eminem realizes this guy just killed his girlfriend and she's in the trunk.
At the end, he realizes that he's heard about Stan's death on the news as he was writing to him.
Right. Good song.
Brilliant song.
I do dig this song. All right, good choice. Really Danny, what do you got in the good name department?
Well, it's a personal matter. Although I happen to love this song, and it's the most famous version to the two people that are going to know it. But I like another singer.
With Amy. Aww.
Frank Sinatra.
Aww, that's cute.
With Amy. She listening?
Yeah.
Does she have this downloaded into her vibrator?
Does she miss one single second of this show?
No. Not one single second. But I'm pissed off because I'm pretty sure it's for Adam. I will tell you why this song is important to me, because it's cute, but I've had girlfriends' names in songs before. It came on at the Grove, and I was in a feeling particularly good and romantic mood, and there was a spotlight and a streetlight, just like Sinatra used to sing under. So we danced right in the middle of the Grove. It's real slow. And people walk by, and they just say, hang up the show, Danny. And I go, thanks, man. I just kept dancing with Amy.
I saw it on TMZ. So.
It was on TMZ, as a matter of fact.
All right, good choice. Two good choices, but not as good as my choice for a good name song. Oh, you've heard it before.
I already know it. I can't get it right.
But it's never enough. Lucretia McEvil.
Lucretia McEvil.
Wow.
Little girl, what's your game?
Hard luck and trouble.
Hard luck and trouble.
It's a great
that
voice,
to
too.
Be your claim to fame. Tail shaking.
Tail shaking, home breaking, and trucking through town.
Each and every country mother's son hanging round.
Yeah.
Drive a young man insane. Evil, that's your name.
See, this is when guys used to write real songs about devil, evil, pirate women, Cajun queens, cat eyes with nine lives. Look out, ladies, lock your husbands up. She's a backseat Delilah. Oh, here comes the line.
I hear your mother was the top of the sticks.
Your mom was the talk of the sticks.
Nothing that your daddy wouldn't do for kids. Never done a thing worthwhile. Evil woman child.
I'd say evil woman child summed up the entire 70s in every song.
Now, is that the same guy that did Ride the Painted Pony, Memphis Painted Wheel Sign?
Oh, that sounds more like Cher the way you do. A lot of evil woman, devil, gypsy child.
Gems and queens.
Yeah.
And all of them were Cher's.
Mm-hmm. All right, wait, we have to hear him. We have to hear him scream here.
What you going to do?
Clothes all messed up, or your hair?
Your hair's all messed up, babe, and the clothes you're wearing just don't fit your right nose.
All right, that's enough. Lucretia McEvil, yeah, I like he called her Lucy. Got sort of more comfortable with her. Got a little less formal. All right, that is an excellent example of a song with a name in it. But what's bad, T?
Well, something happened while I was looking for a bad song. I chose this as a bad song. After listening to it a couple times, I think I might like it.
Chicks get used to that after a while.
Elvira.
Yeah.
I know it's bad.
By the way,
it's bad.
She's on stage with me when I kicked that guy's ass accidentally, not in self-defense, totally.
Oh, Cassandra Peterson.
Yeah. Oh. On fire.
I wanted to kill myself when this song came out. What year is this? Because I feel like this is about the height of me wanting to kill myself.
Oak Ridge Boys covered it. I think Kenny Rogers first released it. In 78 or 80, something like that.
That was when he was with Kenny Rogers in the first edition.
God, I feel like this is later than that. Get one of the magical porn boxes and see if you can get some answers, Mike. Ugh. I didn't know this song was called
81. Quickly climbed the Billboard magazine Hot Country Singles chart.
How does this? How much coke do you have to drop off at a program director's office to make this song number one?
Ask Jack.
Oh, about 3 or 4 kilos. Oh. I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I had it on my list. They said Teresa had it, so I yanked it off and replaced it with something
better.
Oh,
you had this one too?
Yeah. All right, Danny, give us a bad name song.
You can't beat this. Everybody is irritated by this. I'm irritated even by thinking of it.
Oh, Mickey, how dare you attack my beloved Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
I like this song.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine. You put my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Oh, Daniel, Daniel.
Oh,
come on. Come on, you can't be in a bad mood when this song's playing.
When you grab me by my glands. Well, now it's more fun.
Oh.
Oh, look at everybody singing it.
Everyone loves this song.
Teddy, now I feel bad.
Hey, Mickey. She's singing to Mickey.
Oh, Teddy's really happy, and I want to sleep with his sister. I feel double bad about this guy.
Oh, I miss Mickey. All right. I can't listen to Mickey anymore and know it's a bad song. Here is an actual bad song by the super sappy Steve Perry. 1984. Up to number three. Again.
Journey is a bad song.
This is Steve Perry solo.
This is such a good voice, though.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
They're drinking sherry.
We should have been gone. Knowing how I made you feel. And I should have been gone.
Yeah, it would have been nice if you were gone from the recording session.
Was a steal.
Every mid-80s ballad had this sound. Guy's got the big Casio spread out to stool. Elvira got to number five in 1981. And again, Rosalita never charted.
Mickey, I hate gay people. Mickey, number one in 82.
I like that song.
I don't care for it.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, we don't have to either.
Well, we both had Elvira on our bad list.
All right.
I had Delilah by Tom Jones, but I couldn't use it because I had to use Amy. Every possible way.
What do you got for your number one in the bad, T?
This has a lot of names in it, just to give you a couple. Fidel Castro, Ernest Hemingway, Harry Truman, Doris Day, Joe DiMaggio.
Got it.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yep.
Liberace, Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh, is it the rapping, whatever? I always hated this song, too.
Stupid song.
It was bad when it came out, but history has not been kind.
But you know
how dare you?
It's a decent history, unless if you pay attention to it, because it's chronological.
That's true, it is. It covers the events from 1949 to 1989.
No, really?
And basically, he's saying, in 89, we don't suck because of us. We suck because of you. We didn't start the fire.
Music sucked. And what year is this?
89.
Yeah. I don't hear any. I just like some sonic drums and drum machines and Casios. All right, this is horrible. You're right. But horrible. not a stupid song. A well thought out horrible song.
Yeah.
Yeah, but horrible and chock full of names. Yeah, yeah. I think she gets extra points.
Thank you.
All right.
If this was a bet, I'd be giving you my 20 right now.
What do you got, Danny, for your number one song?
You know what? It's so obvious, but I can't bear it one more time. I even know the lead singer, and I may have to kick his ass.
My Sharona.
She's also my realtor. One of them.
Now, an effed out song, to be sure, but not a bad song.
I like it. Sharona, your life is hell. You get to hear this more than Michelle has to hear my bell.
The Knack, this whole album was pretty good, actually. They just kind of get credit for this and everyone being tired of it. And I feel bad for them because they get that one-hit wonder thing, but they actually had a couple hits.
No, I saw them play when their second album came out. And they couldn't have been more ashamed of themselves. They kept making jokes about, now here comes a song from the album.
I think this song was a hit when I was in the ninth grade. And some kids had taken to saying, they used to go, and Parola. I remember that one, yeah. It's fine with me. Yeah,
I got my
better than Brillo head.
Yeah.
Again, effed out, but not a bad song. I have a bad song here. Helen Reddy.
Okay.
Number one. Number one. Now, back in the day, ladies and gentlemen, men would sing about Gypsy Queens and Cajun Queens and witches and rambling.
Yeah.
That's what we sung about. The ladies would sing about small town girls with dreams that were crushed, living in a world of fantasy. Or guys that jumped off bridges when they're in love.
Off the Tallahassee Bridge, I think, specifically.
Now, the most interesting thing about this song
is that she's a big old lesbo.
Is, no,
oh.
But yes, producer Angie was born, I believe we established, born the year this song was number one.
Drunk. I'm drunk. Our now, producer was born 2 years after I graduated high school.
Yes.
Gotta hate her. Drunk.
Now, you want to talk about living in a world of make-believe? This is how my life goes, everybody. This is the greatest example of my life and every conversation I've ever had in my life. Here's how it goes. Hey, producer Angie, you know that Helen Reddy song, Angie Baby? No.
Okay.
But your name, Angie. Mm-hmm. Never heard Angie, babe. It's a popular song in the 70s. Mm. Well, let me look that up. Wow, went to number one. And your name's Angie. No. Was number one in 1974. What year were you born? 74. So, there was a number one song the year you were born with your name in it, and your folks never said anything? No. So, anyway. Well, wait a minute. I'm not done. Now, I met you 16 months ago. I didn't know you for the first 32 years of your life, and I'm the first individual to bring this up. Uh-huh. You want to talk about tomorrow's schedule? Well, no, I don't want to talk about tomorrow's schedule. What's the deal? Okay, there's a number one song. The title of the number one song is Your Name, and it was number one the year you were born, but you made it through 33 years without this knowledge and would have taken it to your grave had you not broken up with Man Cow and come out here to Los Angeles.
Wow, it's getting ugly.
Then
that's a new game. What will Andy eat?
Then you get the then you get the sarcastic one. My mind is officially blown. Can we move on to tomorrow's schedule?
I'm fascinated.
Okay. Does anyone else? Then there's always eight people standing around that aren't siding with anyone. Although they're siding with her, they just don't want to say anything to me. No. And I look around and I go, can I get a witness here? Can I get a witness?
Is your point that she really did not know that this song came out the year she was born and charted number one and nobody had ever mentioned it to her?
That's a number one point, and then bigger point, and this is the one that's going
to
make me
to her?
Fall on a sword when I get home, is... Everyone looks at me and then goes, so what's the deal? So big deal. Let's move on.
Right.
I'm the only one who's freaked out by this.
Honest again, this is not a sucking up, which I do plenty of and we're all aware of.
That's true.
It says Adam Carolla on the door because you're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an interesting thing. It is interesting. There's a number one song with her name from the year she was born. That's interesting. And the people that were around her
don't
have their name on the door.
Not to the girl with the same name. It's
don't
not
care.
Interesting.
I care that the
I'm
guy
sure
just
she's
found
heard
it interesting.
The Rolling Stones song a zillion times.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Rolling Stones, a band.
You know what you're starting to sound like, by the way? You're very excited about something. Everyone you're talking to is very disinterested.
This is amazing. Lisa,
it started the year she was born.
Lisa has, stooges around him who nod their head.
Anytime old Danny Boy comes on, the pipes are calling, which is three or four spins a day on this station.
Sure.
I'm always excited wondering, I wonder if that was written about me.
Mm. What about
200 years ago?
What about the song Daniel?
And Daniel, my brother, you are Elton John, all written about me.
Dig that song.
Me too.
All right, we have your suggestions. We don't have time. I'll go through them. Let's see. Guns N' Roses, Michelle, Elvis Costello, Allison. I like the song, but a little left out. For an Elvis Costello song, Tom Jones, Delilah.
I love Tom Jones, Delilah.
Mandy, hold on. Is Mandy good or bad? Mark?
Yes.
You like Mandy or don't like Mandy?
Well, I hate Mandy because of I used to date a girl named Mandy, and my girlfriend Karen, every time that song would come on, she would get pretty upset with me, and it wouldn't be good. It always lead to a fight or, you know, a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely hate Mandy.
I can dig that. Yeah, imagine when the aforementioned Sharona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
I kind of like this song.
Me too.
I mean, I don't have a bad history. Like, I never got chlamydia from Mandy, so, you know, we don't have the same history, but I kind of like this song. I feel like people have turned the corner with Barry Manilow. I have the same relationship with Barry Manilow as I have with Alf, the old TV show from the 80s. Once in a while, I run into a guy, and we have a few beers, and the next thing you know, we loosen up, we start speaking our minds, and it slips out at some point. I kind of like that show, Alf. Anything you want to talk about, perhaps Barry Manilow? And he goes, I kind of like Barry Manilow, and then we hug, and we make sweet love right there in the restaurant. You'll throw it out as a teaser, though. You go, Alf, what'd you think? And if they go, didn't care for it, you'll back off. Yeah, me neither. Horrible.
Right, that's the canary.
Horrible show. That's right. In the comedy coal mine. All right, we have Angie from the Rolling Stones and Peter, Chris, Beth. Uh-oh. Sad to report, I kind of like that song,
I
too.
I never heard it.
Carl? Carl?
Are you high? Yeah. This song's a stinker.
Come
You're
on.
A stinker.
Hold on.
Who calls another grown man a stinker?
See Peter Criss sitting on a stool singing it. This is supposed to be like one of the greatest rock bands ever. This thing, hold your nose.
Well, it's another one of those songs that you had to write in the 70s where you're out partying.
Because me and the boys are playing.
He looks like a kitty cat.
Oh, he does look like a cat. I gotta give you that. Just
a few hours. When he says him and the boys, he means the rest of Kiss, right?
See, I thought it was a card game. I didn't get it at first. Mm-hmm. I was going, what is that? We can't find the sound. They just need a rhyme. I didn't realize it's they're trying to write a song.
They're in the studio.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the irony is,
come on, T, you don't know the song?
No. This is some guy from Kiss?
Oh, my God. Don't ever speak to me again.
I'm going to get the anti-treatment.
Peter Criss, the only real drummer from Kiss, because they kept blowing him up like the guys in Spinal Tap.
Hey, Carl. Sorry, no dice here. You haven't found any takers in your Beth haters.
Teresa doesn't know it, so that's
default. Okay. Yeah, you have two nays and a push.
Yeah, she also doesn't know the periodic table of minerals, so I don't think that counts that it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who is she?
All right, so Carl, you don't like this one.
No, it's awful. It's supposed to be like...
Quiet.
Yeah.
Nice strings.
Yeah.
Full-on rock band makeup with the strings, man.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Never speak to Carl again. We'll take a break. Ozzy's going to be in here. He has himself a little movie review. I think he saw the Heartbreak Kid over the weekend. He'll give us a incoherent review of that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Crazy,
ba 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 ba,
crazy, ba ba ba.
No, get off of my car!
He's a Latin man, there is no doubt.
Oz.
Yep, I'm here.
He's Nicaraguan born, that's why he's brown.
I'm vice versa.
Vice versa.
Most of his English is mispronounced.
Huh?
And there's a sound he makes when he wants his wife around.
I remember some friend, you know, living this parambolo in this movie.
This what?
His name's Oswaldo. Ooh. He's shooting Harry.
Hell yeah.
It's a very sad state of affairs over at the Carolla house because I'm there much less than Ozzy is. And also our nanny Olga both speak Spanish to the kids all day long. We want the kids to be bilingual because I figure, by the time they get to the fifth grade, 80% of Los Angeles will be speaking Spanish.
Good morning, everybody.
That's
good morning,
right. Ozzy. We'll play that instead of the American national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll just play this in the high school. All the kids will stand up. They'll take their sombreros off. They'll place it over the right side of their poncho. Everyone, dismount your donkey. Turn toward the south. And then they'll play this. So I want my kids to learn to speak Spanish to get along, but as it stands now, they only speak Spanish.
Really?
They understand about five words, and it's all Spanish. And I'm sitting with my wife and little Natalia yesterday, and she looks at my wife, and she says, Ma, Ma, Ma. And I say, oh, sweetie, she's saying your name. And she said, no, she's saying mas. She wants more agua.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and she reaches right past my wife and grabs the bottle of the agua and starts drinking it.
That's cute.
It's cute.
I'm very funny. In the time she needed somebody, you know,
pick up.
She say, up.
Yeah, aww. She puts her hands, raises her hands toward the heavens and yells up.
This is the daddy.
All right, Ozzy. What movie? Oh, do we have an intro? Yeah, we have an intro for Ozzy.
Thank you, Brian.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie I saw this weekend was The Hairbread Kid.
The Hairbread Kid.
Hairbrained?
Hairbread.
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 One of the worst children's toys ever. The Hairbread system.
Hairbread.
Hairbread Kid star Ben Stiller.
Who?
Is Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is Eddie. Michelle Monaghan is Miranda.
Moynihan, right.
And Maylin Ackerman is Lila.
I think her name is Malin Ackerman. I don't know where she's from, the blonde in that. I don't
believe I knew her.
All right. Wait a minute. Ryan,
sorry. You would definitely know her from Entourage. She was in that threesome episode.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, I've masturbated to her.
I like it, Brian.
I mean,
here.
I know her. Right. Right.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Now I know her.
The Hairbread Kids is funny comedy with sexual content and crude reality.
And by the way, The Hairbread Kid is a remake, for those who don't remember, with Charles Grodin, I think, from the 70s. I guess he was the original Hairbread Kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about one guy who is single for a long time. He finally decides to marry one exotic blonde girl.
He's going to marry her. Right.
Yeah, marry.
Mm-hmm.
She is full in sexuality and lies.
She's full in sexuality and in lies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She no tell to everything, you know, before marrying.
Yeah, she doesn't let Ben know what kind of gal she really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She lies.
Like that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
When their honeymoon blondie tour all shrink color from the sun.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. What happened? They go on a honeymoon?
Huh? In the other honeymoon blondie tour all shrimp color.
She turned shrimp color.
For the sun.
For the sun.
She got sunburnt on the honeymoon.
Sunburnt in the face and the body.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So she's got to go stay inside the hotel room or something?
Yeah, stay in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. This is in Cabo, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie almost make a lover with one phenomenal girl named Miranda.
Ah.
In his fresh honeymoon.
So while she's locked in the room, he goes and meets another gal.
Yep.
Now, she's single, too?
Yes, she's single. She married, you know, after the occasion in Cabos. And right. He's looking for she very, 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 very handle, you know, to the guy.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Thank you. I try.
Okay. All right. So he's married. He's on his honeymoon. She's single and at Cabo, and he meets her at the resort. Yep. All right.
She finding, you know, Miranda and him making, you know, almost lover with she and she decide, him decide, you know, is the girl for him.
Mm-hmm, Miranda.
And
right.
She and him try to take a cut to the Lila.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it good, Ozzy? Did you laugh?
What?
Make a laugh.
Take it a funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, in the time, in the end of the day, the Hairbread Kid let the reviewer call.
And that was Oswaldo's movie review. We hope you did not end up too confused.
All right. So, sound like a decent review for the Hairbread Kid.
Yeah, it didn't do very well. It was disappointing at the box office. Came in number 2. The game plan beat it.
Now, I have no idea how anything works, because it seems like there's more advertising for the Hair Brick Kid than almost ever any other movie out there.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller's a big name. They ran the bejesus. The Farrelly Brothers are huge and all that stuff.
Here's what I've read from the Associated Press. The screenings were positive. The audiences liked it, but the reviews were so hideous that it hurt the movie. Now, it could pick up. Like, There's Something About Mary didn't do very well its first week, and then the audience built.
Mm-hmm.
So Hairbreak Kid could build. Mm-hmm. But you saw the Roper and whoever the new guy is.
Yeah, they hated it.
They hated it.
Yeah, well, I may go out and see it myself, and then I'll tell you guys whether to get on board the Hair Brick train or not. All right, Ozzy, nice work as per usual.
Nicely done. And thank you very much for the
tamales.
Tamales were wonderful.
And chimichurri.
Although I was starting my no-carb diet today. That's a bowl of carbs.
I'm going to use a little reverse psychology on Ozzy, if you don't mind. Ozzy, I want you to hurry over to my house.
Yes, sir.
Eat and talk to Olga in the kitchen while the kids run wild.
Every time, sir, no worry.
All right. Damn. Normally I tell him to go to my house and get to work, and then when I come home, he's talking to Olga in the kitchen, teaching them more Spanish and how to hate
Mas.
Whitey. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break tea.
Moss news from Pam Anderson. She got married. I'll tell you about that and what Kid Rock had to say about it.
We'll do the news next.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to the Porcupine-Faced Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed. T?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the show. That's relative. The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Pamela Anderson and Rick Solomon got married Saturday night in Vegas.
Oh, let's pray they have a kid. I bet he comes out wearing a lab coat with a Bunsen burner.
You mean he's going to probably cure AIDS or cancer?
Keep going.
Or...
The common cold.
Common cold, yes.
That's right.
Heps A through C.
That's right. Saving the world.
You may know Rick Solomon is the guy who's in the sex tape with Paris Hilton, or mm-hmm. the guy who was married to Shannon Doherty.
Yeah.
Or the guy who was married to voice actress Elizabeth E.G. Daly.
I never saw that sex tape, but, you know, people do that thing all the time where they go... You know, they go, yeah, this guy's got a sex tape, or this chick's got a sex tape, and this dude's got a sex tape. And the first question out of everyone, straight or gay, is, how's the guy downstairs?
Yep.
Answer, always very well hung. Why? Guys with small pepes don't make sex tapes.
Right. I mean,
the
Bonaduce,
more you know.
Do you have a sex tape floating around anywhere?
You know what? I hate it when I have to vehemently disagree with
Carla. Years ago.
I have probably 20 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And really?
I'm not tiny, but you wouldn't remark on it except to say, well, that's not very big.
A real right
the way you remark on it, small.
Harvey, you listening? I'm going to be watching TMZ tonight.
Well,
I made one last night. A little tiny one. I didn't know that those little still cameras that we have, they have like 30 seconds of video.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have a brand new 30 second one.
Huh.
It better be deleted by the time I get home, like she promised it would be.
Well, Rick Solomon is the son of a former executive VP at Warner Brothers. So perhaps he has a...
It's in his blood.
Trust fund. Anyway, they got married between magic shows because, as you know, Pam Anderson is a sis in a magic show in Vegas. So they got married between the 7 and 10 o'clock show. But the question on everyone's mind, how is Kid Rock taking all of this?
Good for her.
You happy for her?
I can, you know, whatever.
Does this shock you?
I don't get shocked by much.
We're going to touch
on I got so many other things going on that, you know, actually it's kind of good. Hopefully that takes a little, you know, the last thing I want is this stuff to overshadow my music, which is why I'm here talking to you.
Correct.
So hopefully this maybe takes a little bit of focus off it, and this guy can, you know, go Rick. Here, hand off. Go for it.
It's about the music.
You know, Larry just seems disoriented now.
A little
bit. Like, you know, he walked off the stage, went to one of his producers, and he's like, Chris Rock was not funny at all.
Larry, that's Kid Rock.
Well, there's no, I'm not kidding about Chris Rock not being funny, if that's what you're saying.
His name's Kid.
Much lighter in real life, too. He looks much darker on camera.
No, didn't drop. That's Kid of Kid in Play.
Only dropped three N-bombs. I thought there'd be more.
It's true. It must be confusing for his producers to explain what Kid Rock is and why we should care.
Who's Kid Rock?
Where to begin?
Is he some sort of pro wrestler?
No. He's a...
Was he some sort of outlaw?
No. He's a musician.
What's he play? What instruments? He play the flugelhorn or the French horn?
Turns out he doesn't play.
Kettle drum? What kind of musician doesn't play an instrument?
I don't think he plays an instrument.
I take that personally, Larry.
Look, give me Lenny Bruce. Let's do a good show. Come on.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
Well, that's why I'm saying to get him. Obviously, if he's here, I wouldn't summon him.
No.
That would be a good
don't
get.
Don't argue with me.
We don't mean not with us. He's obviously not with us. We mean passed away, sir.
What suspenders do you think go with this tie?
None.
I think you look great.
What tie goes with the Grim Reaper scam? All right, hold. Come here. Put the sickle in your left hand. Now stand next to me. Does this tie clash with the Grim Reaper's hood?
Everything matches the Grim Reaper, Mr.
How
King.
About that vulture? It's on my shoulder.
Don't
Do
worry
these suspenders
about that.
Clash with my vulture?
Don't worry.
No, as a matter of fact, you're almost twins.
Well, according to you, Larry King's been dead for some time himself.
Yes, so. I'm convinced. Because they do that thing every year where they go, you know, highest paid entertainers from the grave. Never
Yeah.
They never
they
include
don't
Larry
it's
King.
Elvis and Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, what about the King man? He's pulling down some ducats. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a story about strippers. Yeah. And it's fascinating.
You know what I always feel sorry for?
Who?
I always feel sorry for their young, hot wives. Because that's a calculated risk right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm 38, I'm hot, I'm blonde, you're 169, and it's like, I'd like to make you my 55th wife. How old are you? 159. Okay. Who's that next to you? That's the Grim Reaper.
Oh.
Oh.
He's right next.
Okay, how much, okay, so I, and if you die, I get every, yes. Fast forward 11 years later, honey, I'm home, I'm horny.
Oh.
Some mathematician should create an algorithm for just this blonde woman, and you put in several numbers, like, you know, amount of kids he already has, because they'll get some of the trust,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get some of the estate, how long he has to live, his medical conditions, how old he is, how old you are, how much sex you're going to have with him.
Yeah, and then you sue him, and you'd be like one of those viatical agreements I always talk about. Crazy thing happened back in the day of AIDS when it was a death sentence. If you had AIDS and you had life insurance and it was a death sentence and your family disowned you, part of the reason the whole AIDS thing came up, well, you had yourself $1 million, but you couldn't spend it until you were dead. But screw who you're leaving it to. You don't have any kids.
Right.
The guy closest to you is the guy who gave you the AIDS.
Right.
And F your religious stepdad who kicked you out of the house at 13 when he saw you with the playgirl. So what do? You want that money now. So you make an arrangement with a couple. They say, here's $500,000.
Right.
Give us the million when you die. And they say, fine, I'll go cruising right to the grave. So he gets the 500 grand, but he buys AZT with it, and a bunch of breakthroughs come through. And next thing you know, the guy's alive. So now there's some couple that's trying to retire in Arizona who want their $1 million and gave away their nest egg to the gay guy with AIDS. Who's not giving it back because he's alive now, thanks to the miracle of modern science.
Not only alive, but often huge. I won't say what gym, but there is a lot of the stuff they give you to fight off AIDS will also give you outlandish muscles.
Roids and AIDS.
It gives you a very ruddy skin complexion, so you can usually tell which guys are and which guys are just on straight
but
roids.
Veins in the thighs.
But gigantic. You look healthier than healthy.
Oh. Point is, who owes who the money? I think, just like the old couple can sue the gay guy in
for
wanting their money back.
I remember that.
Do you think Larry King's wife can sue Larry King for not dying? Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
No, because I think your only possible cause there was he did promise to love her and cherish her till death do us part. But I don't think he put a clear date on that.
I wish you were dead.
Right.
Well, the lawyer has to establish whether or not he's dead
before
the case can proceed. On to my story about strippers. This is interesting. Would you imagine that strippers make a different amount of money in tips depending on what time of the month it is or where in their cycle?
Mm.
Wait. their time of the month.
Right.
Of course.
If they're ovulating, if it's during their period, if it's before their period. It's markedly different. And this was studied by the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Evolutionary psychologists at UNM studied strippers over a 60-day period. They collected data from 5,300 lap dances at strip clubs around Albuquerque. They had strippers report on their menstrual cycle and their tips. Here's what they found. During the time they're ovulating, which is a woman's most fertile time, strippers made about $70 an hour. When they're in the later half of their cycle after ovulation but before they get their period, they made about $50 an hour. During actual menstruation time, when they're the least fertile, they only made $35 an hour.
Girls have worked here long enough to sync up their flow, and it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong, Jen. Hey, grab yourself a couple of 20s and some with wings on it. Have yourself a seat in the champagne room. Hope you scotch guarded those slacks. J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-
why would she make more money? Their theory. Because,
I'll tell you why.
Is that,
swollen breasts.
When women are ovulating, they are producing more estrogen,
swollen fake boobs.
So they walk and dance sexier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's like how they always say girls on their period are hornier, which, please stop that. But yeah, that would have made perfect sense. And then when they're having their period, I would imagine they're a little bit timid. They don't want to, you know, do anything too much, show any possible mistakes, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Embarrass themselves. A lap dance might, you know, you wreck a guy's suit. That could be a drag. Just I can just, it all makes perfect sense.
Must have been a easy choice over there at the New Mexico facility. All right. Listen up, scientist. We got two assignments. One of them is studying Crohn's disease effects on lab rats, and the other is going to be heading down to Thirsties to study strippers who are ovulating. Who? Okay, I'm going to need some of you are going to have to stay behind. Some, we can't all. Okay, well, then we're going to have to take turns. Okay, not. Oh, hell, who? I'm buying the first picture. All right, let's go. All right, we need to take a break, T.
Yep.
So,
Lindsay Lohan's out of rehab. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news. Smooth.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
We will come back and tell you who won the NFL picks. Money going to charity. Next.
Professional football in America is a special game. The men who play it make it so.
And the ones who don't play it bet on it. It's time to find out who pays who.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
As we pay off our NFL picks.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, first off, we should just end the season and give New England the effing Lombardi trophy because they're that much better than everyone else and I'm sickened by it. But as far as our gambling goes, the season continues. Now, the first game we bet on was Pittsburgh versus Seattle. I took Pittsburgh. D took Pittsburgh. Danny took Seattle and Pittsburgh won that one handily 21-0. So we're 1-0 and Danny's 0-1. Next game, Arizona versus St. Louis. Arizona went back with Kurt Warner. I took Arizona. T took Arizona. Danny took St. Louis. And even though Arizona won, the spread was 3.5. Oh. And this is why you can't gamble.
Right.
Danny, you had 3.5 points, and you took St. Louis. St. Louis did not win.
Right.
Arizona won, but they won by 3 points. And at the very end of the game, St. Louis scored and went for two and got it, thus eliminating the spread or whatever, negating the spread. Your team lost. You won technically, and you got that win.
And when you know it's even gore, I don't know what you're saying.
You just know it's a good thing.
But I also know you're a very honest man because I know you know I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what it's like. You're like my dog, Molly. When I'm enjoying myself, her tail wags. And when I start yelling at my wife or my kids or the TV set, Molly once in a while gets weird, and I'm yelling, "What the hell's wrong with this stupid Dane Cook?" And my dog thinks I'm talking to Molly, and Molly gets like, because that's how you are with sports.
Exactly right. Yeah, I just watch you.
All right, girl. Well, you won this one.
Thanks, Papa.
Now we go to the third game, San Diego at Denver. We took San Diego. That is Teresa and myself. And we were right. 41-3.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to know what's wrong with San Diego. Well, now they can ask what's wrong with Denver. 41-3. Open a can of whoop ass on young Denver. So maybe Seattle's back. So we're 2-1, Danny's 1-2, and now we get to the last game. Teresa and Adam tied. Danny could pull back into it with this one. San Francisco playing Baltimore. I took San Francisco, Danny took Baltimore, Teresa took Baltimore, and San Francisco won that game. Thus, making me the winner for the week, I went 3-1. I go to 10-6 overall, Danny 7-9. Teresa, 9-7, and Molly, who I forgot to bring in last weekend, was, even though she was laying by the front door, I stepped right over her. She's 3-9 overall. This means your $100 goes to my charity, which is for schizophrenia.
Now, I have yet to give any money to anyone. Are we waiting to the end of the season?
I think so. Then we'll write a lump sum.
Yes, we're keeping track.
I cannot, just because I don't understand even the premise, I actually don't understand how we're paying up. I just can't process any of this game.
Well,
so just at the end of this, I'm going to owe a charity a bunch of money or I'm not.
Right.
And it's a good cause either way. Everybody's got a real live good charity.
Yeah.
All right, great. That's fine.
Right. And I don't know how to spell schizophrenia. Does anyone?
I think I can figure it out.
All right. So we'll tell Danny when he brings his check in.
Well, one of us can do it.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back to wrap it up next. Well, that's about it. What else can I say? Thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Michael Ian Black for coming in here, or at least picking up the phone somewhere in Connecticut and giving us a call.
That's not gay.
I Am a Wonderful Man, the name of his comedy tour. That's about it. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
F you, Jesus.